hearing. There are registration blanks on the back table. You need to fill one out and bring it up and present it to the clerk or myself. It's 6 p.m., so I will call to order and open the public hearing for the 2011 Sauk County Tentative Supervisory District Plan in accordance with state statutes. The clerk has provided proper distribution of the plan. Does the clerk wish to speak to that?
Yes, the notice was included on the agenda for the county board meeting this evening, and it was also placed on the county website under the meeting calendar.
As chair of the redistricting committee, I will relate to those present that that state statutes were followed along with the guidelines put out by the WCA in the development of this plan, and the plan that is being considered tonight was passed unanimously onto this board for their approval. So that there have been copies that have been distributed, as also, as the clerk said, been available on our website. Is there anyone that wishes to speak during the public hearing on the tentative supervisory plan? Is there anyone present who wishes to speak on the tentative supervisory district plan for Sauk County? For the third and final time, is there anyone present who wishes to speak regarding the Sauk County 2011 Tentative Supervisory District Plan? Seeing or hearing no requests, I'll close the public hearing and call to order the regular meeting of the Sauk County Board of Supervisors for Tuesday, May 17, 2011. Are we in compliance with the open meeting law?
Yes, we are.
Roll, please. Let the record show that we have 27 supervisors present with four excused, that being supervisor number four, Mr. Meister, supervisor number six, Ms. Borleski, supervisor number 11, Mr. Lane, and supervisor number 25, Supervisor Weeks. Please stand for the invocation of the Pledge of Allegiance.
We are all here because our constituents elected us to do what we believe is best for Sauk County and for them. Let us work together, respecting our differences, to do the important work of county government.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You have an amended agenda before you this evening. The addition is the referral to, underneath my report, the referral to the Executive and Legislative Committee regarding possible resolution addressing board member deportment. That has been added so I can speak to you regarding that tonight while I have underneath my report. There are no other, there is one other change, and that is I believe that Sergeant Miller is going to be, well, Kevin, you're going to, you did make it back, all right? Didn't see you back there, you're hiding. Okay, that is the, that is, there are no other changes. Supervisor Sinclair. What page are you on, Supervisor Sinclair? Okay. Okay. At number three, page 17, the letter from the Jewish Federation of Madison should be remarks about a, at a March 15, 2011 board meeting. Any other moved by Tollison to adopt the amended agenda? Seconded by Halpin. Any further discussion or comment? Now, you've heard the motion and the second to adopt the amended agenda with the one change in the communication section. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We have an agenda. Minutes from the previous meeting. There is one change that needs to be made throughout, and that is if you noticed on the first vote, Supervisor Steckman was listed as being absent and excused. Thereafter, she was listed as absent and unexcused. The official minutes will be corrected to list her as absent and excused, with the other two listed as absent and unexcused when in those appropriate areas. So we have two sets of minutes. One from our regular board meeting of April 19th, the other of our midterm assessment of April 28th. Do you wish to take them separately? Moved by Collison to approve with the noted change in the April 19th meeting, seconded by Galswick. Any discussion? If not, you've heard the motion, the second, to approve the minutes of our regular board meeting from April 19th and the special board meeting of April 28th. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Done. We have two scheduled appearances tonight. Probably we should do, Sean, if you don't mind, unless the group, the class is certainly welcome to stick around, but perhaps on this lovely evening you have other things to do. We will switch the order and take number two first. Does anybody object on the board? And that is the second appearance by Jennifer Erickson, our Sauk County UW Extension Community Development Educator, and she has her skill class and the Skill Leadership Award for this year. Jenny?
Quickly introduce the presenter tonight, which will be Bobby Betcher. She has been a longtime member of our skill board, and she is here to introduce the class and also talk a little bit about the program and our leadership award. Good evening, everybody. Like Jenny said, my name is Bobby Betcher, and I'm currently serving as the Vice President of the Skill Board of Directors. It's my honor tonight to present to you our this year's skilled graduates of the Sauk County Institute of Leadership and the Sauk County Institute of Leadership Award. Many of you know this, but some are new. The skill mission is to develop informed, civic-minded leaders who are committed to a vibrant Sauk County. The skill program itself is a 9-month leadership development program consisting of an initial 2-day retreat followed by a 1-day workshop and a graduation program from September through May. The skill sessions are typically held throughout Sauk County on the second Thursday of each month. Each session focuses on a different aspect of community leadership. Skill brings together potential leaders from various segments of the community in a program that encourages and prepares participants for assuming leadership roles in the places of employment and in the Sauk County community. Anyone who lives or works in Sauk County that is interested in bettering themselves and our community may apply for the program. the South County Institute of Leadership has openings for next year's program. So if you are interested in partaking, and I believe you, Jason Lane was a participant in this year's class, please feel free to contact Jenny or to go online. Theskillsprogram.org is our website. And now I'm going to talk a little bit about the Leadership Award. The Stock County Institute of Leadership has presented the Stock County Institute of Leadership Award to a resident or organization that has exhibited exemplary communication skills, the ability to empower and motivate others. The award recipients are passionate people or organizations with the ability to spark enthusiasm and create a common vision. The Leadership Award was designed to celebrate and recognize all leaders that help make Sauk County a great place to live, work, and play. This year's award recipient is the St. Clair Hospital and Health Services. I would like to introduce Alice Casey to come up and receive the award on their behalf.
On behalf of Sandy Anderson, the president of St. Clair Hospital, and the entire St. Clair Hospital family, thank you. We will proudly display this award so that we and the general public remember the contribution of Sauk County Institute of Leadership in making and developing strong leaders and to the increase of the community-sensitive private
and corporate citizens. Thank you very much. All right, I would now like to introduce David Armstrong, a member of this year's class, to give us a few reflections about his experience.
I can balance. I have pressure issues.
My class thought that I had a nifty PowerPoint to show you all. I'm sorry to say that I don't, but it's too late for them to fire me tonight. So, as Bobby said, my name is David Armstrong. I'm an assistant dean at UW-Sauk County and also a member of this year's Sauk County Institute of Leadership. On behalf of the entire skill class of 2010-11, I'd like to thank you for your time tonight. When I was first encouraged to sign up for SCIL, my initial thought was that I really don't need any more touchy-feely leadership training. But I'm here to tell you that SCIL is so much more than that. Like any good leadership program, there's some touchy-feely. There's some theoretical basis, some group work, and some hard practice. We've explored aspects of servant leadership, leading from the middle, board leadership, spiritual leadership, political compromise, and finding common ground. However, SCIL is just as much about developing individual and group knowledge and ownership of our communities here in Sauk County as it is about leadership in its own right. SCIL requires a high level of commitment. In addition to leadership activities, every month since last September, we travel to a different location and spend an entire day focusing on the issues that citizens of Sauk County and you all as members of the Board of Supervisors grapple with. We looked at local government organization and land use, education, arts, humanities, healthcare, community and economic development, public safety, criminal justice, civil liberties, family and community issues, and agriculture and natural resources here in the county. Each field class includes a diverse array of membership. Our class includes professionals in agriculture, education, finance, healthcare, nonprofit, community organizations, police, small business owners, and for the first time, one college and four high school students. Some of the class, like me, are new to Sauk County. Many of those here their whole lives, and yet none of our class members has ever been to all of the locations we visited during the last 9 months. When I told my classmates about their experiences, there was universal agreement that nobody knew nearly as much as they thought they did about Sauk County, and that this constant exposure gave us new perspectives on the wealth of opportunities and resources that are available, as well as the large array of needs that the county faces. We plan various service projects individually and in small groups
which address the need in the communities we live in. These projects touch on a number of our skill focus areas, and some examples include wildlife control in urban areas, housing and shelter resources for the homeless, food pantry resources and nutrition education, agriculture and dairy science education, strategic planning for education, and crime prevention and awareness. It's our hope that many of these projects will continue beyond our participation in the skill class. In conclusion, I speak for the entire class in saying that we believe this is an invaluable program to Tawk County and is worthy of your continued support and advancement of the program. We would like to sincerely thank Jenny Erickson and Lynn Zick of UW Extension and the all-volunteer skill board for their hard work and dedication and the many individuals and organizations that took time out of their busy schedules to educate and inspire us this year. Thank you, supervisors, and good night.
Finally, this evening, I'd like to introduce the skill class to you. And please forgive me if I butcher anybody's name. I practice, but I get nervous when I'm speaking in front of people. So, you met David Armstrong here, first on the alphabet. Nancy Beasel.
Nancy, we're going to make the class like we did last year come up and be recognized. So, if you can come up front here. I'm sure that Jenny wants an opportunity for a group photograph, too.
Landis Rosick. Karen DeSanto. Tyler Douglas. Anna Grogan. Bill Helm. Aaliyah Kuchka. Ryan LaBrosian. I feel like I'm at a UN summit here. Jason Lane, who is not able to be here this evening. Angela Mack. Tracy Neeson. I want to say Brunig is Freinig, right? Sorry. Stephen Paskey. John Coleman Sr. Joanne Preston. Joshua Sanders. Robert Sinden. Marsha Stolte. Jenny Walsh. Lisa Wenzel. And Julie Werger. Congratulations, everybody.
Yes, you got to scrunch together for the group photograph here, folks. Let's give this skill class and Jenny another round of applause. Thank you. Congratulations. Thank you very much. Now, you don't have to leave.
We have a celebration for that.
Oh, it's a party. Yes. All right, our second scheduled appearance this evening is Sean Murphy, who is the director of the Green TPEC Honey Creek Business Park in Greater Plain, Wisconsin. Sean is the former village administrator in Pernsack, am I correct?
Right.
And welcome, Sean Murphy. You have the podium.
Not reason it's not
take the opportunity, thank the chair for the invite to come and update you on our project down in Plains. We started last year, and I just wanted to give you a little background on why we're doing what we're doing, some of the quick obstacles that we've encountered, and we're back on track and what we're trying to achieve. And the I'll run through it anyway. The reasons we undertook the project were a couple fold. One is as part of our comprehensive plan for the village of Plains adopted a few years back, they wanted to diversify their tax base. And then along came the floods of 2008, which I'm sure you all remember.
Well, he fixed that up. He talked
Also, we got that state grant for economic flood recovery grant for about $1 million from the Department of Commerce. The village board with a lot of input and help from Bluff County Development Corporation and the Department of Commerce used that grant and leveraged to get a federal economic development assistance grant for improvements to the business park, which was the original intent, as well as a regional training facility that emphasized and supported green technology and entrepreneurship. The grant was awarded based on the kind of a niche of supporting and promoting the development of green technology, as well as supporting local resources and labor. Thank you again. The team that kind of put that together, getting the village board of Plains with they appointed an advisory committee, which had representation from Sauk County Development Corporation, METC, area school districts, area citizens, as well as the business and industry. And they focused on three main points: the Green Technology Training and Enterprise Center, which we're constructing now, the Honey Creek Business Park, which is also being constructed, as well as the Sustainable Community Initiative. The third one, the Community Initiative, is kind of fading a little bit, especially with the governor's proposal to eliminate that division of the state. But we still want to keep that element or component within the overall project. We've had a lot of partners that have provided input and critical guidance throughout the project, and I just listed some of them here. There are more beyond this, but these are some of the key partners that we've had in developing this project. The budget itself is about just under $5 million, of which that original state grant was about $1 million, which was leveraged into the $2.4 million grant from the Economic Development Administration. And the village's share was about 1.4, which is financed through a combination of a TIF district that was created and amended for this, and then, of course, doing some borrowing. What we are seeking to achieve is providing opportunities for training workforce in energy efficient systems. That's the primary focus, it's not the sole focus, of course. We are focusing on both youth and underskilled or unemployed people in the area, and trying to develop this as a regional training and opportunity center. We're also looking at encouraging sustainable agricultural methods, and then developing local rural businesses and positions in that area, as well as encouraging entrepreneurial or startup businesses as well. The building itself, as we get into it, has a focus on that as being the first business incubator in Sauk County as well. We're targeting, as I mentioned before, high school, post-high school graduates, underskilled, unemployed, as well as providing a facility for some corporate training and addressing the area needs that come up that we have the ability to accommodate. So the elevation of the building itself, our architects tried to incorporate a design that incorporates a lot of sustainable building systems in the green technology and energy standing as well. And I'll just give a brief overview. There's quite a few. The building is not only multi-use, but it's also meant to used as kind of an educational component about how these systems can be worked into operating facilities. So it's kind of a showcase for that. The layout in the rear, the white portion of it, is kind of a high bay, high ceiling area, which has the business incubator section in the upper left-hand corner, an industry showcase or exhibit area, which can be utilized to display or exhibit for shows or exhibits of demonstration products, and then a workshop area that we would like to, again, utilize with MATC or for corporate training purposes and the hands-on demonstration purposes. In the front half of the building, there are classrooms, community meeting rooms, conference rooms, and then some office areas as well. Total building size is about 11,000 square feet with the ability to expand. Some of the design features that are sustainable is green roof system. We have a roof crate system, similar, very similar design to the UW Hospital, the First Presbyterian or Unitarian Church across the street there has a living roof system. Very similar to that. There is the upper tier, the high bay windows over here are automatically actuated based on environmental conditions to allow for greater building ventilation and take advantage of outside environment and augment kind of building ventilation, heating, and cooling, as well as the building itself, exchange system underground. Also, there is does incorporate some older technology as terms of a crown wall. I didn't know what that was until I came here, but that is essentially utilizes a passive solar energy. It is the sun hits the crown wall, heats up the hollow cavity of the wall, and releases for the interior at night. There's also half the roof is going to be filled with photovoltaic panels for sale of energy back to the utilities. Well, and that's kind of a top-down approach out of it. I like the relief of the roof as well. Just to give you an idea about the kind of accumulated effect of some of those designs, the conventional building of this size would cost about $12,000. In utility operation, heating, and electrical costs. Through the incorporation of some of those building design systems that I talked about, combined with a payback from the sale of energy from the solar panels, our annual costs are expected to be just under $5,000 overall. And so that includes essentially a 35% reduction in energy use, as well as $2,800 of rebate or buyback from the utility company on our solar panel. This is going to be located in the business park, which is situated just north of Plain on Highway 23 and the west side of 23. 30-acre business park, which again is promoting and focusing on developing local entrepreneurial business, startup businesses, as well as green technology business. The anchor building, the Green Technology Center, will be in the Midwest, Middle West section of the park. The building itself will be completed this end of August. We're back on track and construction is underway, as well as the business park. Just kind of had myself on that one, but you can kind of see the deadlines in which we're looking to get that completed. The deadline of the building is fairly critical because we are looking to have METC take up some residents in there to start courses this fall. They haven't quite finalized what the courses are going to be offering in that area. We'll be starting out with courses there. We are looking to do some outreach to the area school districts and kind of augment some of their curriculum primarily as soon as their budget issue gets resolved. That may be just a little. A quick overview as a sidelight, I guess. I'm sure you've read the paper, some of the problems that we had in terms of the grant suspension at the federal level. One of the objectives that I mentioned before is that the whole project was premised on the basis of incorporating or in trying to promote local resources and local labor and incorporate as much of that as possible as well. When we went through the bidding process for both the business park and the Green Technology Center, we got a significant participation on the bid openings. So we got 11 bids on the business park and about 9-10 bids on the Green Tech building. The two low bidders were local contractors, Mighty Construction and Kramer Brothers, located in Plain. Plain, as you know, is home to four major construction companies in the construction industry. And we took steps from the beginning to allow them to participate on an equal basis as any other contract. There was also, I think, some local pride in ensuring that they're from on their basis to ensure that they got the contracts as well. And so we got some very good competitive bids. Unfortunately, the federal government didn't quite see it that way, and after the contracts were awarded, which, by the way, the state had no problems with after we provided the information in the process, the federal government suspended our grant and essentially directed us to disallow the contracts with the two local contractors and resume construction with qualified contractors that do not have an appearance of a conflict. We went through a process of which we did award to contractors, and we've got, I got to say, two very good contractors that are on board and are getting us back on track, Ideal Builders out of Madison and then Rural Construction out of Dodgeville. They're still relatively local along the way, but we're very excited that this process is going forward. We'll give you a notice when we're at the ribbon cutting ceremony in August and looking to get underway and open our doors formally. Thank you for the opportunity.
Sean, before I open it up for questions, one question I have is this: we, several members of this board, went through discussing green certification on our healthcare center. Will this building be green certified, and at what level?
We will be seeking to achieve a silver LEED certification for the building itself and for the operations of it.
Thank you. Any questions from the board? Supervisor Hardy, you had your hand up. Okay. Any other questions of Sean? Supervisor Lehman.
Question or comment, which talks about being green. Every time I drive by there, it was 10 about the best corn fields in town of
Franklin. For the low producing, we actually are partnering up with the Farmer Solis property at that as well. So in that area, we have worked very closely with the Farmer Solis property that sells this area. He was quite pleased that and has participated in the design and development process. Yes, in that regard, he's happy with the outcome as well.
Supervisor Kriegel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You said something about promoting sustainable agriculture with this facility. Any more specifics on how you intend to do that, et cetera?
In the greater Plain area, there have been, in fact, right in Plain itself, there are a couple of examples of some very good sustainable agricultural methods that have been adopted into some of the businesses in the area. And so we want to use the facility to promote those, provide more awareness of those methods by essentially providing meeting plates for the area farmers to utilize. As far as specific, we haven't gotten that far yet, but that's one of our objectives, is to try to promote those types of practice.
Any other questions from the board of Sean? Any other questions? Last call. Thank you, Sean. Thank you for coming up this evening. We look forward to you giving us notice of your ribbon cutting. Congratulations. That concludes our scheduled appearances. Public comment. Do you have any requests for public comment? Is there anyone who wishes to speak to the board during the public comment portion of tonight's agenda? Is there any individual present who wishes to speak to the board during the public comment portion of our agenda? Last call for public comment. Seeing no requests, we'll move on. Communications, you have several of them that were included with the meeting packet. They pertain to first communication is a notice of land acquisition application dated April 20th, 2011. That is in regard to the resolution that you will address later on tonight, resolution number 52-2011. Then on pages 13 through 16, another notice of land acquisition application, this one dated April 28th, dealing with the resolution that you'll consider underneath 53-2011. And page 17, a letter that I received from the Jewish Federation of Madison. Then on pages 18 through 21, included with your agenda was a notice from the WCA regarding nominations for a WCA second vice president. Anyone as a county supervisor can step forward and put their name forward for that. Also, a regarding presidential appointments to the WCA Board of Directors, if you fit one of those categories. And then also the WCA Steering Committee nominations. You will note that even if you are currently serving on a WCA committee, you must be renominated. And so I included those forms so that especially the steering committee members can fill them out if you so desire to continue and turn them in to me, and I'll get them signed and down to the WCA. And also I included, passed out previously this evening, three communications that I received. The first is a email that I received on May 11th. You should all have copies of it. It comes from Karen Peterson Thurlow, a policy analyst with the Dane County Board of Supervisors, regarding, she sent me a copy of a letter that she sent to the Wisconsin Counties Association Executive Director Mark O'Connell. Then is the second communication that I distributed to you this evening is a letter that dated May 9th that I received May 12th from the Anti-Defamation League. And then the third piece of correspondence is a letter dated May 16th that I received yesterday morning from Supervisor Virgil Harjee. Any communications, Beth?
Yes, the accounting department has asked me to relay the following. The accounting department will be implementing a major Munis upgrade to payroll on Wednesday, May 18th. Because of this, payroll will need to be done prior to this date. Payroll was done on Monday, May 16th, and included the per diem for committees as usual, along with the county board per diem for the midterm assessment meeting. Supervisors will be paid for this month's meeting on May 17th, next month.
Thank you. Any questions on that transmittal from the, if you do, please see the accounting department or specifically Robin Goodman. The court counsel or administrative coordinator have any communications?
I have no idea.
Thank you. Bills and referrals?
I have none.
Claims?
No claims.
On to appointments. You will find a set of appointments, three different sets. First is to the Transportation Coordination Committee underneath the Consumers Elderly Group. These are all reappointments. Ralph Soldner for a three-year term, all these expiring April 20th, 2014. Betty Durst, Phyllis Johnson, Darwin Nelson, and also one of the transportation providers, Jim Brown from Wheels of Independence. Then on the Aging and Disability Advisory Committee, citizen members for three-year terms expiring once again May 20th, 2014. Darwin Nelson, Betty Durst, Phyllis Johnson, Ralph Soldner, Janet Pearson, and Sandy Raymer Reuter, and Theron Hill. The specific for Ms. Pearson, Ms. Raymer Reuter, and Mr. Hill, you'll see the groups that they advocate. And then one final appointment, this has to be approved by the board, and that is the county board wherein she resides, and that is to the Long-Term Care District Governing Board of the Southwest Wisconsin Family Care Alliance Board of Directors, Betty Irwin, for a 3-year term to expire June 17, 2014. Moved by Carlson to approve, seconded by Murray. Does anyone wish any of the appointments to be taken separately? Any discussion on the appointments? If not, you've heard the motion and the second to approve the appointments to the Transportation Coordination Committee, to the Aging and Disability Advisory Committee, and approve the appointment of a Sauk County resident to the Southwest Family Care Alliance Board of Directors. Please vote now. Seven in favor, none against. The appointments are approved. Thank you. We have no unfinished business, so on to reports. First is rezoning petitions. We have none, correct?
No, there was none filed during the last month.
Thank you. Second is from the controller. That is the preliminary final 2010 financial report found on pages 22 through 27 of your agenda packet, and the first quarter financial report for 2011 found on pages 28 through 34 of your agenda. Here with us this evening is our controller, Ms. Bagan. You have the floor.
Good evening, everyone. As Chairman Krieger said, there are really two different reports, a recap of how 2010 is going to be ending. These are pretty close to the final numbers. I don't expect any changes from them. Overall, ending the year very favorably. Good, healthy increases to fund balances. Despite shortfalls in certain areas, later on you have a resolution that discusses the areas where there are shortfalls. Two big areas that we have very good results compared to the budget, our sales tax. Our sales tax came in about $572,000 better than we had budgeted. That directly impacts the general fund balance. And another area is the interest collected on delinquent taxes. That came in favorable to the budget to the tune of about $758,000. Two good numbers that help us considerably. Does anyone have questions on 2010?
Any questions from the supervisors on the 2010? Supervisor Kriegel.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I've got a question. On page 22, under the paragraph called revenue, the last whole line on it talks about inmate health and revenue budget 23. Later on in the report, it shows the shortfall being $434,000, and I presume that in this paragraph, that's just a rounding?
Yeah.
Okay. And then that's probably embodied then in the table below it under the intergovernmental charges, the minus $496,289.
Correct.
Okay, and then on page 23, there's a paragraph near the bottom of the page headed Sauk County 2010 preliminary final financial position. Talks about the fund balance. So the increase in the fund balance is $1.6 million. It could have been nearly $2 million without that shortfall in the rent revenue in the jail, correct?
Correct.
Then on the next table, the actual filing fees for the registered deeds through December 2010, amazingly, it's the highest one on the page, and everything else has been a downtrend. Any idea why that's going against the grain?
I don't have an answer to that. I can check with the Register of Deeds, Brent Bailey, and ask him if he has an answer.
I mean, that's a positive thing. I mean, obviously there's a lot of things that got registered at the Register of Deeds for certificates. Very, well, lots of different things. So it's not necessarily a trend in development or whatever, but lots of things being recorded there.
Excuse me, Supervisor Griegel. Well, the chair of that committee, Supervisor Lehman, would you care to offer anything, or would you like Brent to speak to that at some point? Thank you.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tom.
Another document, obviously, the first test,
Fred, do you have something you wish to add?
Yeah, you can see it due to the $29
fine. The increase at the state level? Okay, but carry on from that, please. Go ahead, Supervisor Griegel. Go ahead, Supervisor Hargy.
I think that we have two gentlemen out there that really go after every dollar out there, more so than they've ever, or I think they really have. Otherwise, I don't know if we've had any big floods, but like we said there, that we can get government help or get the help on these highways. We've been getting it quite good. They pay 80%. That's a big percentage when we go on blacktop. For what it costs to blacktop. But I think that Commissioner and Office Manager has done a real good job going after every dollar that was up.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So it's not necessarily related to some of the flood money.
We didn't have a flood, did we, right, lately?
We didn't. I don't think we had any in 2010, but sometimes we have funding that comes in a later year, etc.
I don't know. Could be. But I know we did. FEMA paid us quite a bit of money, too, over the years.
I don't think it's flood-related at all.
Would you like somebody to get to you? Would you like either the commissioner or his deputy to get back to you on the reason for the... for exceeding it by 845?
Yeah, and they can email me.
Okay.
But, you know, as I said, if we figure out what we're doing, let's keep on doing it. Yeah. Well, just fine. So, because it's always resolved. Okay, over to page 26. Again, a pretty small trend. I just want to point out, because it's easy to gloss over, that, you know, the left most columns with numbers, of course, excludes addition to fund balance. And then the column that's sort of in the middle, that says 2010 revenue budget, excludes carry forwards and fund balance use. And that can be a pretty big factor in a number of the budgets for various departments. There are some departments that, say the treasurer's or register deeds, that generate far more income than they spend usually, and then that goes into fund balance. numbers, you have to be a little careful about what the bottom line appears to be on the rightmost column on that particular page. And one in particular that I want to call your attention to is the county farm that's near the bottom of the page. It's just above the line called Old General Fund. Yeah, over the last several years, over the last 4 or 5 years, the county farm has averaged roughly $40,000 of rent income a year. It's ranged from about $36,000 to $42,000. And the annual expenses have been anywhere from about $4,000 to $10,000, usually much less than the town. So that, it usually reduces the property tax levy for the county by about $30,000 a year. And that $30,000 is about five times as much as property tax would be paid on that property if it were in private ownership. And that property tax would be to the county, the schools, the township, etc. And it's about 15 times as much money as we would generate, as the county itself would generate from property tax. And the shortfall that shows here is basically that instead of providing $33,843 of property tax relief, because of the decommissioning of the sanitary system at the health care center, the spreading of the sludge, the late the planting of the crops at the farm, and consequently it was necessary to reduce the rent to the farmer, because if you plant late, you lose yield, and that yield costs dollars. So with a tax relief of $29,607 instead of the $33,843, if you just look at this page, it looks like the county cost the taxpayer is about $4,000 a year. When you take into account that that before that calculation is made, that it reimburses the county for $33,843, you gain a much different understanding of what happened in that particular budget. And I actually have a prepared handout that that talks about that. There's no single way to put together a complicated set of budget numbers that perfectly answers every question. This particular format doesn't really do justice to the county farm. It does other things, but it doesn't do justice to the county farm. Then I've got a few questions about if you go up the page to the line for sheriff. And if you look at the leftmost column, the 2010 expense budget, the budget amount was $14,656,934. The actual was $14,045,328, or a shortfall of or a reduction of $611,606 of expenses. When you look at the revenue, there was a shortfall of $691,206. Once again, when Pot A is included in that and so forth, it really does not fully explain the negative economic impact that Pot A had on the sheriff's budget and the county budget for the year 2010. If you take that $611,000 of reduced expenses, $81,000 of that was a first-time refunding of workman's compensation that was made. It was made to all of the departments that made contributions, but it was not made in regard to the usage that departments made of it. So if a department contributed $1,000 and they used it, they still got $1,000 back.
Tom, do you have a question? You said you had a question.
Yes,
Well, we'll get to it.
Okay. Please proceed expeditiously.
Okay. Roughly another $347,000 was a reduction from just the normal vacancy factor. Over a period of years, the Sheriff's Department has a vacancy factor of roughly 2.86. And when you multiply that times the employee compensation, in a normal year, there would be about $347,000 that you would not spend because you cannot position for the vacancy and it's earmarked for that purpose. So there wasn't, I'm pointing out that the reductions in expenses in the Sheriff's Department didn't primarily come from savings in Pod A, but most of the reduction in the revenue did. So, when are we going to get a final accounting on the true negative impact of Pod A, you know, during a year's operation? And that's not necessarily a question to the controller, but it's something, it's a report that we really should have. And the previous reports from the Sheriff's Department really were not valid.
Well, unfortunately, the controller is up there.
Well, someone else can answer the question.
Well, the sheriff is not here, nor the former sheriff. Kevin, do you know, is there anything in the, as chief deputy, did you hear the question? My suggestion would be, Supervisor Kriegel, that you speak with Supervisor Stevens after the meeting tonight or at some point during the week before the next law enforcement meeting and ask him to put on the agenda or discuss with him putting on the agenda just exactly what you want on that committee's agenda. Does that seem fair to you? Supervisor Murray, you have a question on the 2010 final report unaudited?
One of the problems I see with the reporting that is, I think, a victim of the system is that while the auditor said everything is correct, and all it shows is that the numbers are real as they show to be, but it's a fully allocated set of numbers. Therefore, it is not something that we can use to look at controllable expenses and controllable revenues and measure performance. Is there any way to use the system to provide controllable items versus allocated items so we can measure not only the function itself, but the performance of department managers?
Like you say, it is a function of the system. It's also a function of time. To spend the time to, across the 700 odd employees of the county, have them allocate their time to the various tasks they're performing. There's a lot of moving parts to that puzzle. We certainly make attempts to do that at least once a year during the budget process. I'm sure you all remember your budget forms that they split a department's numbers into the different programs that are offered. I'm not sure if that answers your question. Really
that, well. Speak to it, Peter.
That answers my question, and the question is what would it take from a system standpoint to provide both a fully allocated set of numbers as well?
we should probably talk a little more about what exactly you mean.
Thank you. Supervisor Lehman, you have a question on the 2010 numbers? We're really not debating, but if you could make it brief.
I don't think we're spending enough for management. The place is turning into itself. It's screwing up the brush. Trees are falling on the fences, and nobody's taking care of
it. Thank you. Any other questions on the 2010 final report? Preliminary, as of 5-5. Supervisor Hershey. Thank you. Okay, 2011, Gary.
2011. Starting on page 28 of the agenda. Thus far, just looking at the first quarter in isolation, we are in pretty good shape. Both numbers are in the range that we would expect to see them in. We would expect to see a handful of revenue categories looking as if they are short at this point in the game, because so many of our grants, which is our second biggest revenue source, grants are generally, you spend the money first, you file the claims afterwards and get reimbursed later. So a lot of the dollars that come in January and February end up allocated to December. A handful of the other revenue sources, licenses and permits, fines and forfeitures do tend to be larger in the summertime as well. Property tax collections are at where we would expect them to be at this point in the year. Sales tax is ever so slightly above the budget. For 2011, the budget that was adopted had an increase in budgeted sales tax revenue of 1%. So just with 2 months worth of data, that's all we have at this point. We are on track for that, but not much over that at this point. We would expect historically to have received about 13.68% of our sales tax through the first 2 months. We have 14.26%. So close. We're not breathing any sighs of relief, obviously, yet. Expenditures are in the range we would expect them to be at this point. However, this is just the first quarter. Since then, the Finance Committee has heard a report from the Sheriff's Department that the state is pulling back on the prisoners that are housed in the jail. So they reported to the Finance Committee they expect a shortfall in the $400,000 range for 2011. And I know that they are working on different ways and working with the Oversight Committee on different ways to cut back in other areas to soften that blow.
Any questions on the first quarter of 2011 report? Supervisor Murray.
Thank you. Once again, I think there's a systems issue here that makes it difficult to really evaluate where we are so far. And the only chart that I see that really makes sense is the sales tax one, because we've got a trend. You can see where we are on a year-to-date basis for the last several years. But to show an annual budget and then amounts through the first quarter is very difficult to understand, other than your comment, is where it is. And I would hope that we could get the system to either show trends or show a year-to-date budget. Now, not a year-to-date budget where you divide by 12 and then take one each time, but something that's realistic. And I will continue to ask, but I'd be glad to work with you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I certainly concur with the concept. The time to make it all happen is our enemy at this point.
Supervisor Kriegel, you have a question?
Thank you. Actually, a couple of comments. First of all, I concur with what Supervisor Murray had to say, and I just want to point out that I realize that our controller, of course, does not have authority over all the other departments and so forth, and cannot be expected to detail what happens to every department and so on and so forth. But if we can work on maybe redesigning the system or something to more readily generate some of those trends and so forth, that would be useful in the long run. And I'd like to express appreciation for the May 9th projection for 2011. We know that there's a lot of things that can change. I'm going to hold you to this being, totally accurate, but it's a much better guide than, having none at all, because it does identify some of the things that we know and also maybe calls attention to some things that are subject to change, and that puts us in a much better position to cope with the issues as changes come along. Okay.
Any other questions on the first quarter of 2011 financial report? Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you.
Report number three is from the Aging and Disability Resource Center. We have tonight with us Supervisor Carlson, chair of that committee, Chris Vandry, the director, and Kevin Fultz, who want to give a presentation regarding Project Lifesaver. Supervisor Carlson, you have the floor.
Thank you, Marty. It's a pleasure to introduce two dedicated employees of South County that started up and now has put into service to help the folks that might wander and or get lost. This project is called Project Lifesaver. Trish Bondre and the ADRC Committee Department and Chief Deputy Kevin Falks of the Sheriff's Department will fill you in with all the details. Yep.
This is a project that Trish with the Aging Disability Resource Center and actually the Department of Human Services and then the Sheriff's Department got involved in here, put together. So it's not just a one agency or one department type of program. It is a program that, as you got the little brochure in front of you, that we are bringing to the community of Sauk County that we can hopefully help those families that have children of special that are special needs, autistic children, possibly Down syndrome child, and those adults that have dementia, Alzheimer's disease, or whatever. It's a project that is nationwide. And how this came about that the three departments got involved with this and started discussing it last fall with then Chief Deputy Meister, now Sheriff Meister. And I got involved with it at that late fall, and they asked me to write a small grant to Project International and for some equipment. So we wrote for the grant. We were successful in receiving it. Our goal with this, and I think the Sheriff's Department, the Aging Disability Resource Center, and Human Services, is to make this a no-cost program that anybody participates in. Okay. We are seeking donations. We will also, if a family member says, I have the funds to do it, they can donate. And one of the forms that you don't have here that I will make available to you is a form that you can make a donation to this organization. It's a tax-free donation. We also incorporated the Greater Sauk County Community Foundation to get involved with this here. You can make a donation to them, and then we are the recipients, we being the three organizations and the citizens of Sauk County. It costs about $300 for an individual to have what I'll describe to you, the tracking device on them for a year. It costs us about $2,500 for the equipment. Is that correct? This is Sergeant Millerbeck. He is actually running the program for the county, for the Sheriff's Department. So donations are greatly appreciated that way. What this is, what it consists of, it consists of basically what we all would consider as a watch. Inside that, it's just a little plastic dome, and it has a transmitter, a watch battery, and then the strap that you would get if you were to visit one of the water parks in the Dells or one of the other tourist attractions, saying you paid your fee to get in, and it is clipped on, and it stays on there for a month. And in a month, we come back and change the battery. Okay. It does not take away the responsibility of the caregiver. The caregiver still has the responsibility to be with that individual. But as we all know, it's sometimes difficult to watch our loved one every minute. We get involved with something over here, and it only takes that 30 seconds, and that loved one has wandered away from us. It's just a tool that we can use. And with that transmitter, then, we have receivers that Sergeant Miller and right now six officers from the Sheriff's Department are trained in the operation that they can take out and pick up the signal and then hopefully narrow in and locate that individual in a very timely manner. On average, they say that once the call is made, if the caller makes it, the reporting party or the caregiver gives us a call right away, on the average, in the communities that have this, it's about 35 minutes for response and recovery. And that's great times. With us right now, to get down towards Spring Green is a 35-minute drive with the equipment. So we have some funds that we want to raise, obviously, because we would like to get some equipment stationed around the area and do some more training. And so we have additional people that can operate that equipment immediately. Trish, you have other stuff that you want to say in this? Well, it's a dramatic cost savings, obviously, to it. You know, if we have a call out, you know, and we have someone wondering, we're going to send several members from our department, you know, if it's in the county or the city, we do the same thing. We immediately use the resources that are available to us, and we think about those resources. That's the volunteer fire department. And all of a sudden, you have 35 men out there, and depending on how they work their department, that's a cost. Some departments, they pay them $10 a call. Some pay an hourly rate, whatever. So there's a dramatic savings to the communities, that are in Issaquah County for this. As I said, it's an international program, and I think that's one thing that I didn't go into. If you're a caregiver and you decide to take your trip to Orlando and you have a young child with you, you know, and I can't say specifically Orlando has this here, but you're down in the Disney area there, and all of a sudden your child wanders. If you've done your work that we've asked you to do, notified Sergeant Miller, he will contact the agency down there that has this program. He will fax the client profile. He will provide them the transmitter number. And so you call and say, hey, my child has wandered. He connects. He has a Project Lifesaver bracelet. Here is his number. He's from Sauk County. They'll be able to go to their book. They'll find that child was there. They'll be able to respond, use their equipment, and locate that transmitter, hopefully, and have a successful response and recovery of that your loved one down there. Eric, you had told me that recently we had a recovery in the Janesville. Is that Rock County area? We're excited about it. We last month we had a group meeting, and there's some citizen involvement this year on this committee, and we had five applications at that time. All were approved. We're in the process right now doing the client interviews where we gather the information that we need that Sergeant Miller will store and share with other law enforcement agencies if necessary. So those are going out, and the bracelets we put on shortly here. So we're just up and running, and right now, you know, we're just happy to see that we have this program here, and we wanted to come in and tell the program to you guys and showing that the department's working together as we are. So, any questions on the program? Well, they're, yes, what would...
Well, we have a visitor come in, say,
right.
From Minneapolis.
Yes.
Because the sergeant happened to be in a long presentation, and Sergeant St. Croix County talked about that if somebody from the city of Minneapolis came, and they came in with adults, and they had a child or an adult that had this tracking device, and somehow they got disconnected from the family, we could take our equipment, because it all runs on basic.
That is correct. You know, in the surrounding area, Sauk County has this, Adams County has this program, and Columbia County. And I don't know about Juneau County right now. Dane County also has it. So we have multiple counties that have it. You know, in the Dells being a high tourist area, I'm, you know, willing to bet that we've had children here and or adults here that are on this program up till today. I could not say that we could assist in this program. Now we can, as can, you know, obviously Columbia County and Adams. Any other questions?
Any other questions?
Currently we have two receivers and 10 individual units of radios.
We have four more. What? Yeah.
Any other questions of the group? Supervisor Kriegel.
Yeah, thank you. Sounds like a good program, but, you know, I'm thinking about how it works. And so if somebody with one of these bracelets was wandering out around Spring Green or whatever, you can track it with the receiver that's located right here.
No, we'd have to get down to the Spring Green area with our equipment. You know, on the ground, the equipment is good for Eric and myself. Tom, if I can put it, that's one of the reasons we're looking for, you know, we're making contact with Kiwanis and different groups like that, looking for additional funding, is that this is the type of equipment that we need to buy. We're not asking you for money from the county. We're trying to do this, you know, as all donation money and going that way with it. So, any other questions?
Supervisor Wenzel.
Like a win-win. And I noticed it's called Project Lifesaver, and so I mean, if you save, you know, one or two lives in any given period, you know, that's really an unmeasurable benefit for the families. And you know, it's not just a money-saving thing, but it just saves a lot of grief, anguish, and unnecessary misery for everybody. So congratulations and nice job.
Thank you.
Any other questions of Kevin or the group? Thank you for taking your time tonight. Next report is from the vice chair, who will give the E&L report.
E&L met on May 4th.
May 11th, and then just before the meeting tonight. We began on May 4th with a resolution supporting the UW Partnership Plan, and we approved that resolution. You have it in your packet for approval tonight. We discussed the issue that was raised by the letter written by Supervisor Sinclair that was referred to E&L at the April board meeting. All of the members of E&L committee felt that the comment in question was offensive, but since this was a single incident, we did not believe that it warranted further action by us. We dealt with a notice of land acquisition by the Ho-Chunk, and we directed Corp Counsel to prepare a resolution. We met again on May 11th to discuss that resolution and found the second notice from the Ho-Chunk. So we met before this meeting to approve forwarding that resolution to you also. So you have two resolutions tonight regarding putting land in trust by the Ho-Chunk, and that's exactly how E&L received them. We reviewed the board midterm assessment and approved the ranking form. I hope you've all completed your ranking form and gotten it into Kathy so that we can use that information as we go along through the budget process. MIS gave a report and requested a disk-to-disk backup system that is also on your agenda. The county clerk, court counsel, and administrative coordinator gave their reports, and we heard the 2012 budget priorities presented by MIS and by the administrative coordinator. We will do the clerk and the corp counsel in June, since our meeting was getting very long and we decided that we need to give everybody a fair time for that. Any questions?
Any questions of the vice chair on her report?
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll try and be brief so that we can move along here and get out perhaps when it's daylight yet. I do want to thank the 25 members who attended the midterm assessment. I understand that, you know, it's another meeting out of your, it's another night out of your life for a meeting, but I believe especially I've received very favorable comments on the first half of the presentation, which consisted of Todd Berry and then our panelists, and I can tell you that I've received feedback from those folks that they found it beneficial and productive for them to be with this group. So thank you very much for those attendees. The administrative coordinator will speak to the survey form in her report. I do want to make this board aware and am going to put out a press release regarding the Board of Adjustment. Don't get me wrong, I believe that every committee that we have of this board is important, but especially this board, the Board of Adjustment, because I'll read part of the release so that you folks understand my purpose of this, so that you folks who come upon a candidate who you believe would be a good applicant, that you advise them to get a statement of interest into me. But this is a very important body. It's a quasi-judicial body. It functions much like a court and is created pursuant to state statutes and our code. Its primary role is to hear and decide cases where there is an alleged error by the county zoning administrator, or where a relaxation of a zoning ordinance, a variance is sought. It's also authorized to issue special exception permits. Those of you who have been at one of these hearings understand that these, depending upon the issue or issues, can last an entire day. The board consists of 5 members appointed by the county board chairperson, subject to the county board approval. This year, I have received notice, I conveyed it to E&L at their meeting, that the current chair of that board of adjustment, Richard Vogt, is not seeking reappointment. Also, the board, 2 alternate members are also appointed. Those 2 alternate the terms of those two alternates are also up. These terms are for 3 years, so these are important appointments. To serve on this board, you have to be in a jurisdiction where our zoning ordinances apply. You have to be in a township, you know, where, or village where we have, where our zoning ordinances apply. Also, one of the items that disqualified folks last time who put their name forward was that no township can have two representatives on this board. So that notice, the Fairbanks News Republic, our county newspaper, has been given notice of seeking interest in these positions. Also, the Reedsburg Independent has been given, and the other newspapers in the county will be notified. Those notices will be going out tomorrow. The terms begin July 1st, so therefore, if you know somebody, please ask them to get their interest to me as quickly as possible so that the appropriate discussion and interviews can take place. The other item I have for you is regards the three handouts that I had this evening. Personally, I can tell you that especially the last month has been a difficult time for not only myself but other board members. Personally, I can tell you that I received one anonymous letter stating that in regard to this to the whole issue of an offensive remark or slur being used at this board, that they wish that I was dead. My wife and I have received a couple other anonymous transmittals through the mail, once again dragging my family into this. Of course, I've also received some transmittals or letters that some folks have signed their name to. But the reason I handed out the, I understand that some folks have come to me since, first of all, I want to tell you that I was questioned on why all of a sudden I was watching the news last night and I saw news of Mr. Harchie's apology. I received the document that you received tonight yesterday morning. It was my personal intent that you folks all be notified together. And so, therefore, even I had a couple supervisors today ask me, I saw you yesterday, how come you didn't tell me Virgil had apologized? Because I did not want to start a call chain with any of you, once again, thinking there was a majority or minority or whatever on this board, that you would all find out together. However, quite by accident, Channel 27 News called Supervisor Harchie and asking him if he was going to apologize, and he volunteered that he had just a couple hours earlier turned one in. It would be very nice, in my mind, if I could say that this apology ends this matter and the damage that it has done to this county. I received not only after the letter that you received from the three Dane County supervisors and the Madison Alderman that was transmitted to me, I received a call from the executive director of the WCA, who I consider not only a colleague but a friend, asking me what he could do. I told him what I was doing, and he was assured that I was doing all that I could and should in this matter. However, that being said, I am referring these letters specifically from the Jewish Federation of Madison, from the Dane County Board Supervisors, and from the Anti-Defamation League, and also the other people that I received transmittals from. I intend that to seek out from ENL that a resolution stating that this county is not what some have portrayed it to be, and that you will see this resolution very soon from ENL back at this board, so that we can really
start to repair some of the damage that has been done. At the same time, this resolution is not only going to address the type of slur that that took place, but it's also going to address what is expected of the behavior of board members at meetings. I find it very peculiar that some are very quick to go after Supervisor Harjee for something that he said, and yet these same people will skewer a department head or another individual on the board at a moment's notice and think nothing of it. That is just as offensive, if not more so, to me. And I know that about half a year ago, I was Supervisor Fordham brought up that the city of Baraboo had developed a code or adopted a code of conduct for their aldermen. And I resisted at that point to treat folks like that. I believe that I would hope that we are all adults, respectful of each other. However, in light of the last 2 months, I highly doubt whether we can achieve anything. As I told E&L, I've used stolen parts of sermons from Father Bakke at St. Joseph's to talk to you folks. I've used Robert Fulghum, a book about how everything I learned in kindergarten, and none of it apparently has made an impact on some of you folks. I can tell you that, I'll end now, but as I was driving back and had just received one of the more hurtful emails I had one night after a meeting at about 8 o'clock, I was passing through former Supervisor Cassidy's township. I also encountered a former supervisor during this entire discussion who happens to be Jewish. She popped her head in my office about 3 weeks ago during the recount and asked me how things were going. I said, well, you read the newspaper, but what do you think? She related to me that, yes, the term was offensive, but also she had served on the board with Supervisor Harjee, knew the type of person he was, and knew that he meant no harm or insult by it. I believe that she would have gone up to Supervisor Harjee after the meeting, told him that she was offended, and she would have gotten an apology. I mentioned Supervisor Cassidy because Bob was a good friend of mine. And I hear Bill of Rights, the Constitution, this country, what it means being brought up in this discussion. And I can tell you that I know of no man that served on this board who put more on the line than this gentleman as a helicopter pilot in Vietnam. I believe it cost him his life. And as I was driving back up into Reedsburg about 8 o'clock one evening and thought of Bob Cassidy, I thought, what would he think if he was on the board right now, if he could talk to you? And he probably simply would have said, Supervisor Harjee, you need to apologize. Supervisor Sinclair, you need to do your job. I don't consider this ended. And I'm not meaning that I'm looking to carry anything else on, but the damage that has been done to this county, the emails that I have received from Holocaust survivors, from every walk, age group, nationality, you name it, is unbelievable. And so I will continue to work to hopefully address this, to get back to these people, that to let them know the type of county that Sauk County is,
that it's not this one incident snapshot. Any questions on my report? Supervisor Baldwin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to add regarding Richard Bolt and his decision not to continue on the Board of Adjustment, I wanted to point out he's from the town of Franklin and that his vacancy should be replaced by someone from the southern part of the county, in my view.
I understand that, and I understand that you are seeking out candidates. It is not specific to that township, but we do try to balance representation on that board. And so certainly, Joel, the rest of you folks from that area, if you know of a good candidate who wishes to take on a difficult job, it is a difficult job. It sometimes, as I said, lasts all day. These are not easy decisions. Please have them contact me with much haste. Thank you. Any other questions? Supervisor Wenzel.
Regarding the Board of Adjustment, I only have not a complete idea, I guess, of sort of qualifications and the sort of judgments I would think would be characterized as judicial. But did you elaborate just a little bit more for the supervisors to so that they can hone in on the sort of person I think that would do well in this job?
Well, Todd, you have an instruction. Why don't you? You actually meet with the board, especially new members, and give them some instruction. Why don't you weigh in on that?
Well, sure. It's a quasi judicial body. It's actually, really a separate legal entity from the county, and it's intended to rule on variances from the zoning code and special exception permits and apply the criteria in the ordinance to the granting of those special exception permits. Excuse me. I guess basically just it needs to be somebody, preferably from it has to be somebody from a rural area, an unincorporated area. It should be somebody from an area that's subject to the county zoning code. In fact, that's a requirement for at least three of the individuals. Other than that, it's just somebody who has likely an interest in land use and somebody who's willing to take the time to judiciously apply the requirements of the statute and the ordinance. I don't think it requires any particular special training per se, just simply somebody that has a judicious temperament.
We currently have, Richard was a former DNR employee, I believe, was he not, Joel?
Yes.
Bob Roloff is a former high school principal, I would think most immediately passed here in Baraboo. Linda White is a dairy farmer. Ron Lestico is a realtor. Dave Warnicki is a Yeah, he's a planner with a variable range. Who am I missing? David Allen is a dairy farmer, is he dairy or pork? Dairy beef. So most of all, Bill, I think the answer is it's a difficult job. I've sat in on or been at some of these, and I think you've been there too. And this isn't somebody where it's an hour meeting. I think most of the time, Jerry, they probably go at least half the day, correct? Okay. Who is the county? Let's see, the county is Henry. Thank you, Henry. Any other questions? Thank you, Todd. If not, the administrative coordinator.
I will be brief as well. There are a number of things. Supervisor Kriegel already referred to the 2012 budget projection that was presented to the Finance Committee. That is for draft information at this point only. It changes on a daily basis. Many of you are hearing in your oversight committees from the department managers as many of those changes are coming forward. There is also an updated meeting schedule of the night meetings of the oversight committees, and we actually just highlighted the changes so that you could see where the changes actually occurred. And on Tuesday, May 24th, the Planning and Zoning, their night meeting has been canceled because it is now moved to June 9th, jointly with the Land Conservation Committee. And the meeting that Supervisor Fordham had referred to with the Executive and Legislative Committee having a second meeting on June 1st is also included on your list. So you should follow this list. It has been updated on our website as well. Also, you have what we have to date for the strategic issues, the grading sheets with the average and then just a summation of what we've received. I've gotten an additional sheet, and if some of you have finished your sheets, if you could get those back to us, we will include those in the rankings as well. And then this document can be used by oversight committees as part of the discussion at the night meetings when they start looking at budgets as well as goals and objectives for the next year and future years. The only other document that I did place on your desk was a letter that actually is specific to the resolution on the Community Development Block Grant. It is a letter that lays out for the board the project that is going to be undertaken utilizing those funds. And so that is there for your reference. And that is all I have.
Any questions on the Administrative Coordinator's report? Supervisor Ashford.
When you say N equals 19, what does that mean?
The number of responses we received back.
Oh. That's not very many.
No, ma'am.
So I encourage you folks, as Kathy said, it's not too late. If you need another form, if you misplaced yours, she will secretly give you one. But I encourage you to take part of this and be part of this and get your responses back into her so that your thoughts can, so that your feelings or your importance on these issues can be, whether you were there or not. I know that Supervisor Steckman was unable to make it. Hopefully, Judy, even though you're not there, you're familiar with these issues being on the board. Please participate, okay? All right. Any other questions of the Administrative Coordinator? One thing I do want to mention to you folks, and perhaps those of you that were watching Channel 47 or 27 last night, will once again take note of just how sensitive these microphones are. And so if you would like to be featured in a future 47 or 27 or some news report, just go ahead. All right, with that, let us get to the consent agenda. On page 35, from the Aging and Disability Resource Center, Resolution 50-2011, commending Victoria Thompson for 10 years of faithful service to the people of Sauk County. Moved by Lehman, seconded by Carlson. Pardon? You meant to make the motion? Okay. Do either of you two wish to speak to this? You're just trying to keep things. Wow. Tonight you're playing glass half full, okay? Supervisor Carlson, would you like to speak to Vicki?
I just want to say that Victoria has been a great employee as a part of Aging and
Disability. Thank you. Any other discussion or comment on the motion? If not, you've heard the motion in the second to approve Resolution 50-2011. Commending Victoria Thompson for 10 years of faithful service to the people of Sauk County. Please vote now. 27 in favor, none against. The resolution is approved. Ms. Thompson could not be with us this evening, so we certainly appreciate her years of service. Next, on to resolutions and ordinances. On page 36 and 37, for the Ad Hoc Committee on Redistricting, Resolution 51-2011, adopting a tentative county supervisory district plan and directing the county clerk to transmit the plan to each municipal governing body in Sauk County.
Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Sauk County Board of Supervisors met in regular session that the attached tentative county supervisor district plan be adopted. And be it further resolved that the Sauk County Clerk is hereby directed to transmit via U.S. mail a copy of the adopted tentative plan to each municipal governing body in Sauk County and specify the approximate territory from which a ward or wards is thought to be created. And be it further resolved that a complete description and detailed map of the tentative county supervisor district plan shall be kept on file in the office of the county clerk, as well as being made available on the Sauk County website at www.co.sauk.wi.us and are incorporated herein by reference as though set forth fully in this resolution. And be it further resolved that this committee has shifted a population which it believes to have been placed in the wrong location and anticipates the population will be relocated officially by the Census Bureau's Count Question Resolution Program, the population in question being jail population in the city of Baraboo, block number 551110004022101818, historic courthouse, population assigned by U.S. Census Bureau was 237, actual population should be zero. Block number 551110003003072, population assigned by U.S. Census Bureau was 57, actual population should be 294, added 237 from historic courthouse. Signed for by the Sauk County Redistricting Committee, Martin F. Krieger, Patrick J. Liston, Cheryl A. Sherman, John Webb, Peter Tollickson, Virgil Harchi, Joan Fordham, David G. Estes, Jim Hitch, Judy Ashford, and Larry Bowles, with a fiscal and MIS note, no impact.
Moved by Fordham. Seconded by Tollickson. Supervisor Fordham, do you wish to speak to the motion?
Yes, please. I want to assure all county board members that we followed the guidelines that were put by the state for redistricting. We had tremendous help from county staff because they could take the GIS maps and just tweak them and move them all around. We are required to have about 2,000 voters per supervisory district. We're allowed to have a leeway of 5% on that, and we were able to move things around, keeping town boundaries as much as we could, keeping existing, we had to make a lot of changes in existing districts because populations have not only increased, but they have shifted in time. Towns, cities have also expanded their boundaries, but I think we were able to do this. You know that the membership of the redistricting committee included a lot of town chairmen, city people. We had real good representation from across the county in terms of the interests, and they said, let's just do it and let's get the people divided fairly, and I think that's what we did.
Thank you. The second wish to speak?
No, I think
you
did a really good
job with that. Thank you. Supervisor Murray.
Steve,
do you have that on the system?
After the meetings, we were given interim maps, and some of them have the old districts on them.
Yeah, I'd like to see it.
Then you can see me after the meeting. If that's all right.
One of the things, if the board will allow me to speak regarding this, we were instructed at the WCA conference is that we were to start this process with no district boundaries, as though the map was blank. And it was very difficult to do, but that was the premise that we sought to use. The first thing that we did, the target number, the perfect number, if you had by our census, is 1,999 in each district. Therefore, the next first premise is that that you respect corporate, village, or city boundaries where you can, which is what we did. The first thing out of the block we did, since Bear Moose population, according to the 2010 census, was 10,048 folks, it was the agreement of the group that they would recommend Baraboo getting 5 supervisory districts by themselves. In other words, not dipping into a surrounding township or village to accommodate the extra 53 people for those five supervisors. We had the target variance of 5% and maintained that throughout the process. I can tell you that I believe that almost every supervisory district, just due to even those within the city of Baraboo, will shift substantially just due to the population shift in different areas. I can tell you that Supervisor Meister if you take a look at his district, the way it existed was 1,000 and some over that target number of 1,999. Why was that? Because his area currently has the folks there in the newer Ernstmeyer divisions on the north side of the city of Reedsburg. And so it was that type of thing. Supervisor Borleski if my memory serves me correctly, 400 and some over. I can tell you that the district that I occupy right now was under 391 or something like that. So took this on as though we did have a blank map and made changes in the most fair and equitable manner, and I believe that's why you have a unanimous consensus from the committee that this is the plan they want to recommend to this board. This also keeps this entire process on track. Back in February, I believe I spoke to you about the tentative calendar, and that is you are seeing tonight the plan that you need to act on to forward down to the local municipalities so that they can draw their wards. They have a defined point of time to get that back to us in August so that the final plan can be put forward for consideration and adoption by this board in September. So this keeps this process on track and on time. Any other comment or discussion on the motion? No, the district lines are drawn first, and then we give these to the local units of government for them to draw their wards. Yes. Yeah. Well, that's the ideal thing. You may have a ward that partially sits in one. The optimum thing would be for the wards to directly line up with the supervisory districts. That is not always the case, but that's what you attempt to do. But that's up to that's really up to, we had a discussion with Mayor Liston, ultimately, I remember when I was Mayor of Reedsburg, I went before this county board 20 years ago asking that they divide the city of Reedsburg, because we had a perfectly divisible number at that time, into 4 supervisory districts. And therefore,
at that time, I made a recommendation to the council that we go to keep the 9 aldermen. Jeff will remember this, but go to two aldermen would be in every supervisory district, and then there would be one at large, which is what the current setup is. Did I answer your question, Dave? Well, we did include the city of Baraboo very much in this. Any other questions or discussion regarding the motion and the plan? Seeing no requests, you've heard the motion and the second to adopt resolution 51-2011, adopting a tentative county supervisor district plan and directing the county clerk to transmit the plan to each municipal governing body in Sauk County. Please vote now. Seven in favor, one against. The plan will be transmitted. Next, from the Executive and Legislative Committee, resolution number 52-2011, opposing the acquisition of land and trust by the U.S. government for the benefit of the Ho-Chunk Nation.
Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Sauk County Board of Supervisors met in regular session that the Corporation Council is hereby authorized to take any legal measures necessary to oppose the granting of trust status to the Ho-Chunk Nation, and be it further resolved that Sauk County reaffirms its strenuous opposition to the granting of trust status for the subject land until such time as the concerns of the county and other units of government are addressed in a satisfactory manner, and Sauk County urges the representatives of the Ho-Chunk Nation to meet with the county and the other impacted units of government in order to address these concerns. Signed for by the Executive and Legislative Committee, Marty Krieger, William F. Wenzel, Scott Alexander, Joan Fordham, and Stephen Bach, with a fiscal note that financial loss to the county from the acquisition of this land into trust is contained on the attached appendix. Potential litigation will result in additional workload for the Corporation Counsel Department and may result in additional costs for mileage, travel, duplication expenses, filing fees, and other litigation-related expenses. MIS note, no impact.
Moved by Alexander. Seconded by Fordham. Supervisor Alexander, if you'll allow, before you start, I will have the Corp Counsel just give the board a brief history of this.
Sure. Well, for those of you who have been on the board for a while, you know we've been here before. This started out in the mid-90s with an application for the original 724, 25 acres to go into trust, of which this is part of. We subsequently filed suit along with the state of Wisconsin and the town of Dalton to prevent that. The Ho-Chunk withdrew their application, and the Department of the Interior promulgated new rules regarding the acquisition of land and trust, in part because of our lawsuit and also other lawsuits around the country. The administrative process was refined considerably. The Ho-Chunk subsequently submitted an application for a 5-acre parcel to go into trust. We fought that all the way up through the administrative process, which goes through the Bureau of Indian Affairs up to the Secretary of the Interior, and ultimately we appealed to the Interior Board for Indian Appeals. We lost there, and we took it to the Federal District Court, and we lost in Federal District Court, and the land did go into trust. There have been several cases that have been favorable to units of government recently. This is a matter that is worth fighting from the standpoint of the county. I think that the Ho-Chunk, could have addressed some of these issues prior to making their application.
And so I think at this point in time, it's probably it's worth fighting. I think the county has a number of legal arguments to make. It's an uphill struggle. It's always been an uphill struggle. The Bureau of Indian Affairs is tasked with being an advocate for the Indian tribes, and so the system is inherently in conflict with regard to the county getting a and local units of government getting a really, truly objective hearing. But ultimately, of course, we can end up in federal district court where obviously we would get a lawful and just hearing. And so I think from everything that I can see, this seems like an appropriate course of action, and we're prepared to put together the administrative response and also then proceed with whatever actions come after that. It'll be a long, should be a long process, and I think we can expect to be at this for some years.
Any questions of the Corp Counsel, Supervisor Balzac?
Well, basically, once land goes into trust, it's owned by the U.S. government, but held in trust for the tribe. Basically, it's very complex, but essentially, it's no longer subject to taxation of any kind. That's really the fundamental issue. With regard to regulatory issues, it also may be no longer subject to regulatory issues. That's almost on a case by case basis, and you really have to look at the regulation. But chances are you definitely cannot count on having any regulatory jurisdiction over that property.
So if the tribe simply owned it, then we could still regulate it, our zoning, for example, and we could still tax it.
That's correct.
Okay. Answer your question, Supervisor Baldwin.
Yes.
Any other questions of the Corp Counsel to provide a framework for these two resolutions? Supervisor Sinclair.
And possibly E&L, Mr. Krieger, what is the budget for this the long legal battle that we're talking about?
There is no budget for it. We usually pretty much do it on the cheap. And so I would have to go back and look if we ever requested any additional money from the county with regard to our previous appeals. But we've done this in-house before. And so it hasn't cost any additional money, because I'd have to go back and look and see if we did transfer some money to do this. I really don't remember. I don't remember doing that.
Well, I can assume you're not working for one.
Well, I, you know, I...
No, excuse me. Yes, there's a tax loss here. But do we spend $100,000, $200,000 of your salary? A million?
I really don't have, I haven't put together a work plan to see how much time.
Well, I think this board should request a budget, at least an estimate.
That's possibly something that we could look at doing, is some kind of an estimate, but I don't normally do that. If you look at how much money this is taking off the tax rolls as compared to the cost of having me pursue this, I can tell you right now there's no comparison.
But the last one we lost.
Oh yeah, we did. Yep. Well, we delayed the property going off the tax rolls for many years. Of course, that was a very small property, and the property tax on that parcel was not very
Well, what I'm saying is, faced with the fact that we have lost the last one, circumstances are very similar. To spend your time on this action, short of the beginning, the cursory, I wonder if we aren't losing more money in the process. And that's why I would ask for a budget estimate of what this is expected to be.
We will take the matter up at E&L and discuss, how we will pursue this. In my mind, with the tax ramifications of this, I don't believe that there is any doubt that we will pursue or object to this transfer. I think that this has been looked upon when we took these two most recent requests or applications up in committee within the last month. We looked upon this as part of the Corp Counsel's job description or work to be done. What that includes is the Corp Counsel having shift duties within his office to cover all things that need to be done by that office for the county. But we certainly will take your comments or your concern and advisement and discuss this with the Corp Counsel at the next E&L meeting.
Marty, could I just say one thing?
Sure, go ahead.
This application is apples and oranges from the last one. This is a huge, huge amount of land to be taken in trust with a considerable amount of value. The previous application consisted of about 5 acres and a shack. The value was nowhere near this. So the impact on it was very difficult to make a argument that we were that we had a significant impact with that property going into trust. Secondly, there's been several decisions from the U.S. Supreme Court which call into question whether the Ho-Chunk is even entitled to receive land in trust. So we're going to be pursuing a variety of legal arguments, due process arguments. We have a large number of legal arguments to make, and those cases came out after that last case that we took. So, based on the changed legal environment and the magnitude of this application, I think this is apples and oranges from the last one.
Again, I ask for a budget funding. Thank you.
Supervisor Stegman, you have a question of the Corp Counsel? To the June meeting? You move.
I move that, yes, sir.
Do I have a second to that motion? Seconded by Sinclair. Discussion on the motion to postpone.
expire deadline?
Well, yeah, you should know that if you postpone it, it'll be too late to comment. You'll have, you know, unless I comment just to protect the county's interests, it theoretically would be too late, and you'd miss your opportunity to submit comments, and that could be viewed as a failure to exhaust your administrative remedies, and you might not be able to challenge it.
I believe we have 30 days from our receipt. That is why I received these, and you got copies by certified mail. Go ahead. Sure, go ahead. Supervisor, does the second wish to speak to the amendment? Hold on, I have to. Supervisor Sinclair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree that we're being asked to make this decision without deliberation. So I'm sure we'll run right over it and complete this resolution. I wonder how many, this is actually from my earlier comments that I wanted to get into, but I wonder how many have gone up and donated up there in the last month. Thank you very much.
Supervisor Halpin, do you wish to speak to the motion to amend? Okay, unfortunately, we have to deal with a motion to postpone. Supervisor Kriegel, do you wish to speak to the motion to postpone?
I do. Plus, I've got a couple of questions that I think are pertinent to that. I'm also concerned that I think we could have more information to help us make our decision. I'm a little bit troubled by, authorized to take any measures necessary. So, I mean, we're authorizing going all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court if it came to that, et cetera. Because that will make some difference in terms of how much cost we might engage as well. So I'd like for our Corporation Council to comment on that, and then I'll raise the other question that I have.
Well, I think you come out of the box with a strong statement, and that's how you create a good administrative record, and that's the way the resolution was drafted. There's always decision points for the board. If the board wasn't happy with the way things were going, the Ho-Chunk wanted to come and make some kind of accommodation. I mean, it's certainly plenty of off ramps before you proceed, but this is how we've done it in the past. We haven't come back to the board. The E&L committee has always gotten monthly reports, from our office. So that's how we've done it in the past. It certainly isn't the only way to do it. Did that answer your question?
I guess that answers that part of it for now. The other question you had mentioned.
Well, if you have a legal right and you know it's going to impact your neighbors, it would seem to be that the neighborly thing to do would be to sit down with your neighbors and try to iron out a process with your neighbors. You know they have this administrative right to object. You know you've been in litigation with them in the past over this. It might have been prudent to sit down and discuss this issue with the school district, the town of Dalton, the county, and to come up with some sort of arrangement to get the county's support or acquiescence in this process, and that was not done. So, you know, one of the criteria is that, you know, is agreements with local units of government and whether those agreements exist. And with regard to taking this land into trust, there has been no agreement, and this is a huge, huge fiscal impact on the county. This is a lot of valuable real estate taken off the tax rolls that all the other taxpayers in the county are going to have to make up. And also, in the future, these businesses will compete against other Stock County businesses on an unlevel playing field. So I could foresee a situation where the nation would have come and talked to us and tried to work this out in advance, and that was not done. Answer your question?
No, I've got a follow-up to that last one. I'm assuming, though, that unless I had basically agreed to continue paying the equivalent of taxes, that we might, that the recommendation might have been to still hold it, or has anyone thought as to what would be an acceptable accommodation on their part?
I don't know. I guess that's up to the board. That wouldn't be something that I would decide.
Well, so that hasn't been discussed either, then. Well, obviously we wouldn't have the resolution if they said, well, since you're opposed, we'll just stop all plans. But there hasn't been any discussion as to what a suitable compromise would be. Yeah, because there's pretty good chance we'll lose this one, so maybe we should be looking at compromising.
Supervisor Bashinsky, do you wish to speak regarding the motion to postpone? Supervisor Bach, do you wish to speak regarding the motion to postpone? Supervisor Wenzel, do you wish to speak regarding the motion to postpone?
We have to respond. That's been adequately covered. I think Supervisor Bockett basically covered my next point. That we are grateful for the areas in which the Ho-Chunk Nation and the county have cooperated over the years, and we're desirous of maintaining and expanding that relationship. I think I speak for all the board members, I hope I do, that are here. And I'm very sincere about that. I've been on E&L, I think, 13 years now, and that has been the situation. We've been able to resolve, we have an improving relationship with Ho-Chunk, and I'm very happy about that. I regularly confer with the representatives. In fact, I did that today, and wonder how many others have here that are sitting here tonight. So I agree with Todd. This is simply a bookkeeping thing that we have to do. We have to get our legal briefs in order, and this is just part of that process.
Supervisor Murray, do you wish to speak regarding the motion to postpone?
Yes, I do. Thank you. If you read the letters that were received, it says we can get one 30-day extension of time as long as we submit the application within the first 30 days. As I look at the details that you received, the first one on April 26th, because it was mailed to a wrong address, you do not live in Black River Falls, which is not even in Stark County. The second one was dated April 28th. So we have until the 26th of June to get comments in on the 1st and the 28th of June on the 2nd. The next board meeting is June 21st, so we do have time to review it again and still meet the deadline.
Supervisor Rick, do you wish to speak regarding the motion to postpone? Thank you. Supervisor Tallington.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I agree with Supervisor Bach. This is just step one, and I think it's important that we take care of this now and not put it off for another month. I cannot support the motion to postpone either.
Is there any supervisor wishes to speak in the first round regarding this motion to postpone these two items before I recognize the supervisor again for the second time? Supervisor Knobs.
Well, I'm kind of a rookie on this county board, but when Supervisor Holcomb asked to ask the council a question, he was denied that, and then another supervisor sat there and asked three or four questions of the council. So I was wondering what's going on.
Okay. Good point. Supervisor Halfen, did you have something you wish to ask Corporation Council?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I could have waited. But I guess what I wanted to know is, if I understood this correctly, the town of Dalton is involved in this litigation as well as the state of Wisconsin.
Well, the town of Dalton and the state of Wisconsin were with us on litigation many years ago. The town of Dalton was with us through the administrative process on the 5-acre parcel, but did not jump into the litigation with us. They are with us currently. They're objecting to this and strenuously objecting to this current one.
Okay. Are they contributing to the cost of the litigation?
Well, their attorney is actually filing response on their behalf. So yes, they're paying their attorneys.
Very good. Thank you.
Sure.
Is there any Supervisor Ashford?
Thank you. If you look at the get through the resolve sentence, it says that we oppose, well, strenuous opposition to granting of trust status until such time as the concerns of the county and other units of government are addressed in a satisfactory manner, and so on and so forth. So, you know, this isn't as firm as you would think it is. We say right here that we want to hear from them, from the whole chunk. I mean, all this resolution apparently is notice that we will fight this request. But we will also talk. Thank you.
Is there any other supervisor who wishes to make comment in the first round regarding the motion to postpone these two items before I recognize the supervisor in the second round? Any supervisor wishes to make comment in the first round regarding the motion to postpone these two resolutions before I recognize the supervisor for the second time? Before I recognize Supervisor Steckman, who will start the second round, I believe, number one, as Supervisor Wenzel said, that the
relationship between the county and the Ho-Chunk has improved over the years. However, I didn't ask them to write me a letter asking to put land in the trust. I knew nothing about this before I received this, and it's my duty to take it to E&L to respond. As far as having information, the real property lister, I believe, put as much information in this packet as I believe one would need. As far as the financial implications, we have updated financial implications that the administrative coordinator can give you, but you know, that's just my opinion. So with that, Supervisor Steckman, you begin the second round. Supervisor Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't believe the Jews, we're not trying to take their land. They're taking ours. Just a little bit confused here as to how and why we should go to them. I would think that they should come to us. I call the question.
Seconded.
Move end discussion on the postponement. Supervisor Stevens, you seconded to end discussion, Supervisor Collison, on postponing. Okay. You've heard the motion, the second, to end discussion on the motion to postpone the consideration of Resolution 52-2011 and 53-2011 to the June 2011 meeting. If you vote yes, you mean that you want to end discussion and vote on the motion to postpone. If you vote no, you wish to continue the discussion on the postponement. Please vote now. Five in favor, two against. So discussion on the postponement has ended, so now we will vote on the motion to postpone. Yes. 25 in favor, two against. You have a problem? You voted to postpone? That was just to end discussion. So did you vote against ending discussion?
Yeah.
Is that what the vote reflects?
No. It's been clear on assessment.
25 in favor of ending discussion, 2 against. Discussion is ended. Now we vote on the motion to postpone. You read the motion and the second to postpone resolution consideration of resolution 52-2011 and 53-2011 to our June 2011 meeting. Ready, Pat? Please vote now. If you vote yes, we consider it in June. If you vote no, we consider it tonight. Is everybody clear?
Supervisor Sinclair, you have a question? Oh. All right. All right, vote over, please. All right, you've heard the motion once again to postpone the consideration of Resolution 52-2011 and 53-2011 to the June 2011 meeting. If you vote yes, you wish to postpone it to consideration next month. If you vote no, you wish to consider it tonight. Is everyone clear? Any questions? Please vote now. Six in favor of postponing, 21 against. The motion to postpone is defeated. The original motion is back on the floor. Before we, the Corp Counsel has had his, has given you his input. The Administrative Coordinator has been working on this. She has the updated financial impact if she wishes to advise you. Kathy?
Thank you. Your packet actually contains some preliminary information. Both the controller and the real property lister have continued to work on this and have developed some new scenarios or additional information for your consideration. The total at this point of the equalized value that is actually incorporated between the two resolutions is $52,024,811. When you start breaking it down by respective areas and what the implications are, we actually looked at it not only from how it affects Sauk County, but also the Bear Woods School District, MHC, and all of those taxing entities would be affected by this. The grand total, for instance, for the Bear Woods School District would be $384,000 MATC would be $77,000 Sauk County real estate taxes specifically would be $239,740. So we'll continue to work through this. There's some more proofing that we'd like to do. This is the next and newer draft of those numbers. We will continue to work through that and have finalize numbers to you fairly soon, but we are looking at it from the way that it will impact not only Sauk County, but other taxing jurisdictions, and then ultimately how it affects individual taxpayers.
Those figures are per year.
Correct.
Okay, Supervisor Alexander, you made the motion originally. You can speak to it, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I did make the motion originally, and at the D&L meeting, we actually know that the town of Dalton did ask for our assistance in this, and they are doing their part also, as was stated earlier by Todd. But one of the most frightening things is they stated that the media that frightens me very much is just in their township alone, 20% of their revenue is just going to vanish on them. And that's the real fear here, I guess, is the money loss that's going to be endured, along with the room tax money, all the other taxes that come from everything, from gasoline to chewing gum. It's frightening amount of money. But that's why I support this resolution, and I hope that we can get something resolved between us and the Ho-Chunk Nation. I always say that the door is always open with the Ho-Chunk. I don't think anybody else in here says they're not. But we'd love to talk. We'd like to work something else out. But right at this moment, I don't know what else we can do. Thank you very much.
Does the second wish to speak to this?
Yes. I think we do need to move forward and just take the legal steps as Todd outlined. As Scott said, we're always ready to talk. But I think we have to get our ducks in a row so that we can take the appropriate legal procedures. The other thing that I would mention is that the land is not going into trust for to save natural beauty or for historic reasons or for anything else. It's going to be going into trust, and they're going to develop an IMAX theater and a mini mall, and it is, I mean, they have a right to ask for that. I'm not saying that they don't have a right to ask for the land going into trust so that they don't have to pay taxes on it. But I think we also then have a right to say, no, we prefer that you not put this land in trust because there are no compelling reasons, and it will provide a significant financial hardship, not only to Sauk County, but to all the governing jurisdictions around here. And as I said, we can keep talking, but we need to take this first appropriate step to start this action.
Supervisor Stackman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to point out again, here we're saying we're willing to talk and they have a right to do all this, but we have not made lifted that telephone to call them and say, would you please come and talk about this? And let's hear from them. Now, in the past, they've always taken consideration into the tax loss for our school districts and MATC and so forth. They're not... We haven't heard the whole story, and yet we're being presented with a whole lot of fear that we're going to be losing all this tax money and so forth. And we don't know that yet because we haven't talked with them. And even though we say our door is open, well, the door goes both ways. And we need to, we have to humble ourselves and lift that telephone and invite them to come and talk to us. Then we know what we're dealing with. Right now, all we're dealing with is a fear. It's ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. And in response to Mr. Supervisor Stevens' question about the land, I mean, I would respectfully like to remind everybody historically who the land was originally. So thank you. That's my personal editorial comment. Thank you.
Supervisor Lehman.
You know, the Nature Conservancy took 10,000 acres of highly assessed land in the county off the tax roll. Now we're going to lose 60-some million or whatever, 50-some million in equalized value here. You know, I read something the other day about the federal government. Well, a billion here and a billion here, pretty soon it's trillions. Well, we're not quite to that point, but this is going to start to come out. Get real. What
are
we
going to
run this county with?
Supervisor Zalman.
Thank you. I just want to say to Judy that I think all of us I feel very respectful towards all of the Ho-Chunk Nation and very appreciative of everything that they've offered our community, you know, the wellness center, the jobs at the casino, and so on. I just think that just to bring up what Joan said is that this is like 600 acres that's currently undeveloped, but it's well known that they do have, great plans to do some further development. And I think it would be extremely unfair that all that assessed value, which will be, so much more valued land, would be not on the tax roll. I mean, it would be really taking up a lot of our services and those kind of things. So I just, for that reason, I just think it is very important that we do go forward with this.
Supervisor Carlson.
Thank you, Chairman. I figured they're right at $700,000 in lost revenue. I don't think Todd is going to charge us that much without improvement. And as far as good neighbors go,
Supervisor Wenzel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This, I get as Margie said, this is, when he opened the mail, this is what he got. And so this is what we deal with right now. Any other move down the road, we can initiate or the Ho-Chunk can initiate, as the supervisor said. But right right now, this is the situation where we are. And so I think we need to adequately live in this situation right now and react to it the best we can. Thank you.
Supervisor Dipple.
I guess at this point, Marty, I'm a little upset with the fact that there are people that are saying, yes, we've got to talk to them, we've got to talk to them and everything else. You made the comment before. They never bothered. They're going ahead with this, and they never bothered contacting us the fact that they were going to do it. And yes, the relationship has gone and it's gotten better. But they didn't help that. They haven't helped it. If they want to talk about it, why don't they come to us before they go into it and say, we're considering this. What's your feeling about it? Instead of our coming in, and I'm voting for this, instead of our coming in having to come in afterwards and say, why didn't you come talk to us?
Well, let me answer that. And I have no problem contacting the Ho-Chunk tomorrow, but let me just state this. This isn't a matter that, you know, who's going to call who or you didn't call me. You know, I got this in certified mail, and I'm tasked in my duties to, you know, to forward to the appropriate committee so that there can be a response. I'll talk to them anytime, any day, and I'll make that call. I know that they're currently going through elections, but I can offer to you that the township also came to us and asked us to join in this. Now, I can tell you that they related to us during this discussion, that I believe the other E&L members and Todd will back me up on this, that they have had ongoing discussions about development plans much more on a regular basis than we have had discussions with them, but because they're in the township, have had very, very much so a not only an improved relationship, but increased communication. And they were hit with the same thing that all of a sudden they got this notice. On one hand, I supported this, at committee level of getting this response out, and I'll support it here tonight. But I'll also tell you that I'll make an attempt to contact these folks tomorrow and have a discussion, inform them of our response, but tell them that, you know, we're certainly open as we are at any time to discuss this. However, when you're looking at taxation, I mean, when you're looking at the impact of on these various entities, including the township, where I believe that the current impact is like 25% of their levy. I mean, which, you know, normally you talk about pilots or payment in lieu of taxes. Well, this really is taking stuff out of it, getting tax exempt. Which, if you're the Ho-Chunk, which one are you going to offer to pay or not to pay? You're going to say, well, we'll pay Sauk County, but we won't pay the Baraboo School District? I will, no matter what happens tonight with these resolutions, I'll make an effort to contact them. Supervisor Sinclair.
Well, thank you, Ms. Chairman. Thank you for your last statement. I believe that is the answer here. I would suggest that we form a committee with Tom Belton. Is Tom Belton, you said? And actually ask for counsel with the Ho-Chunk Nation and express this. You can go ahead with your legal paperwork, though, like I said, I really believe that without a budget, it's an open-ended question, that yes, it will impact us financially. So I would move that we, as a group, or as a body, ask for negotiations with the Ho-Chunk. I think they would certainly want to sit down, because if it meant that they could move ahead on their plans and we would have the stability of knowing our tax base, then we would all, and
film, and we would all benefit in the long run. And I think that the best way to do that would be to sit down, and if we've had special meetings for other things, I think this would be a very good, especially with the gravity of the tax base that you're going to lose, that this would be a very good reason for a special meeting of this body.
So, did I hear the word move?
I did say that.
And where are you moving? You're moving to amend?
I would have moved to amend or move for another resolution that we actually sit down and then have contact and ask for a note.
You have to move to amend. And what's the amendment?
I move to amend that before we go down the path of litigation, that we have a council with the Ho-Chunk Nation.
That's postponing. That's already been voted on. It's already been voted on to postpone.
So that is out of order, you think?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Supervisor Tollickson.
Yes, I reiterate what I said before. We have every opportunity from this point forward to talk to them and come to a mutually agreeable settlement. But in the meantime, I think we have to proceed with these two motions, and I'm calling the question.
Well, first of all, the motion on the floor is only for Resolution 52-2011. So your motion is to end discussion on Resolution 52-2011.
Correct.
And who had the second? Don Stevens seconds. Okay. So you've heard the motion and the second to end discussion on Resolution 52-2011. Once again, if you vote yes, you wish to end discussion and vote on the original motion. If you vote no, you wish to continue discussion on that resolution. Ready, Pat? Please vote now. Twenty-three in favor, four against. Ending discussion. Discussion has ended on Resolution 52-2011. Now to the original motion. You've read the motion and the second to adopt Resolution 52-2011 opposing the acquisition of land and trust by the U.S. government for the benefit of the Ho-Chunk Nation. Please vote now. Twenty-three in favor, four against. Resolution is adopted. Next, on pages 45 through 51, Resolution 53-2001, opposing the acquisition of land and trust by the U.S. government for the benefit of the Ho-Chunk Nation.
Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sauk County Board of Supervisors met in regular session, that the Corporation Council is hereby authorized to take any legal measures necessary to oppose the granting of trust status to the Ho-Chunk Nation, and be it further resolved that Sauk County reaffirms its strenuous opposition to the granting of trust status for the subject land until such time as the concerns of the county and other units of government are addressed in a satisfactory manner, and Sauk County urges the representatives of the Ho-Chunk Nation to meet with the county and the other impacted units of government in order to address these concerns. Signed for by the Executive and Legislative Committee, Marty Krieger, William F. Wenzel, Scott Alexander, Joan Fordham, and Stephen Bach, for the fiscal note, the financial loss to the county from the acquisition of this land into trust is contained on the attached appendix. Potential litigation will result in additional workload for the Corporation Counsel Department and may result in additional costs for mileage, travel, duplication expenses, filing fees, and other litigation-related expenses. MIS notes no impact.
Moved by Alexander, seconded by Tollickson. Supervisor Alexander, you have the floor.
I can just say it again. I guess that this is a lot of money loss, and things have changed quickly, and so we have to act appropriately, I think.
Second wish to speak?
Thank you. They took the first step on this. If they want to take land out of a community, out of the tax base, they could have contacted either the town of Dalton or the county board before they took the first step. They've taken the first step. We have to take the second step, and that just tells them that we're serious. We want to talk to them. Otherwise, they're going to think we're just kidding around. Thank you.
Peter, Supervisor Murray.
Point of clarification on Mr. Dibble's statement and Mr. Stevens' statement, referring to the fact that I believe the Ho-Chunk already owned the land.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Thank you. Second, we've seen a significant difference in a week of the amount of the value of the land going from $46 million to $50-some million. I would assume there will be some more changes coming on in terms of what the real value and what the real taxes are. So, therefore, I wanted to support Supervisor Stackman's memo. I also had my light on before the last resolution was made to stop discussion, and I was not called on. I do have a question for the Corporate Counsel, are you going to pursue both of these as one event, or you have to file twice because there are two different requests?
There will be two separate responses.
But gives it the same work and it just sends it twice the same thing?
I don't think it will be the same. Obviously the land uses are different.
Significantly different, right.
Right. But.
Well, yeah, because one's heavily developed and worth millions and the other one's cornfield.
Right. Although they do say that they're planning to pursue some type of unstated economic development. No. Not, no.
Supervisor Wenzel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would say that the argument on this was is similar to the last one, but I wish to highlight a situation that I'm not sure some of you know about it, or some of you don't. I'm sure some of you do. And that is a situation where a long time ago, and I think Todd can remember this, the casino operation started in Sauk County, and the state negotiated the gaming compacts. And in that, a story that I've heard passed down from supervisor to supervisor, Berkeley could probably remember this, is that the state of Wisconsin was considering an amount similar to $1 million to give Sauk County, as a result of the gaming compact, they would share the revenue from the gaming compact, and as a compensation to Sauk County, it wouldn't be a tax compensation, but it would be a monetary compensation for the operation of the casino and supporting the activities that Supervisor Stackman pointed out that everybody uses in this county on a recurring basis, I might add. So the state kept the money, basically, and we never got a red cent out of it. So that is basically how it worked. And it's an unfortunate situation. The Ho-Chunk Nation is hardly to blame. They've attempted to compensate in part by choosing to give Sauk County, if you remember, I think $90,000, which was deeply appreciated. So really we have a situation where the state is an unwilling partner in this three-cornered negotiation, and it's too soon to be able to include them tonight. But I would remind people here that he had also not forgotten us.
and I raise it from time to time. I did when I was county board chair, and I'll continue to raise this with our state representatives. So that's a matter that I want to bring to your attention tonight. Thank you.
Any other discussion on the motion? Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing or hearing no requests, you've heard the motion and the second to adopt resolution 53-2011 opposing the acquisition of land and trust by the U.S. government for the benefit of the Ho-Chunk Nation. Please vote now. Twenty-three in favor, four against. Resolution is adopted. Also from the Executive and Legislative Committee on pages 52 and 53, resolution 54-2011, authorizing the purchase of a disk-to-disk backup storage system.
Now therefore be it resolved that the Stock County Board of Supervisors met in regular session that the above described quotes for the total amount of $21,139 be and hereby is accepted by the County of Sauk, and be it further resolved that the Sauk County Management Information Systems Coordinator is hereby delegated the authority to sign any contracts related to the purchase of said products and equipment on behalf of Sauk County. Signed for by the Executive and Legislative Committee, Marty Krieger, William F. Wenzel, Scott Alexander, Joan Fordham, and Stephen Bach, with the fiscal note, the 2011 revised MIS budget provides $47,600 for data security upgrades. Ongoing maintenance costs are estimated at $4,100 annually. Installation costs are estimated to be $995. MIS note, this device is expandable up to 15 TB to allow for future backup needs.
Moved by Bach, seconded by Wenzel. Supervisor Bach, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the supplemental information submitted by the MIS department tells the whole story, and I urge passage of this resolution.
Thank you. Does the second wish to speak? Pat, you want to click? Wenzel, please. Push your button. There you go.
In the interest of brevity, I just want to move things along. So we're replacing the tape system with a hard drive system, which pretty much everybody agrees is a much better solution. It's a lot faster, so it's much, much more reliable. And as you can see, the cost is very small. So it's good to buy tapes and welcome hard drives.
Thank you. Any other discussion on the motion? Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing or hearing no requests, you've heard the motion and the second to adopt resolution 54-2011 authorizing the purchase of a disk-to-disk backup storage system. Please vote now. Is everybody comfortable with us reducing the amount of time for the vote countdown? Most of you folks look at it, although maybe you're reading the next resolution. 26 in favor. Supervisor Zalin, how do you vote? Yes. 27 in favor. None against. The backup system is authorized to be purchased. Next, from the Executive and Legislative Committee and the UW Extension Arts and Culture, Supervisor Murray is excused for this discussion and this vote. On pages 54 and 58 from E&L and UW Extension, Resolution 55-2011, supporting the University of Wisconsin Regents Wisconsin Idea Partnership.
Now, Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Sauk County Board of Supervisors met in regular session that the Sauk County Board supports maintaining the existing structure of the University of Wisconsin system, supports the University of Wisconsin Regents Wisconsin Idea Partnership, requests the governor to reconsider his position separating the various campuses, and voices their objection to the proposed plan to split off the University of Wisconsin-Madison from the other institutions, and be it further resolved that copies of this resolution be forwarded to the Office of the Governor, all senators and representatives that represent Sauk County, Kevin Riley, President of the UW System, the Board of Regents of the UW System, Ray Cross, Chancellor, UW Colleges and UW Extension, Rick Clem, Dean and Director, UW Cooperative Extension, Thomas Plager, Dean and Campus Executive Officer of UW-Baraboostock County, Rosemary Potter, Director of Government Relations, UW Colleges and UW Extension, and the Wisconsin Counties Association. Signed for by the Executive and Legislative Committee, Martin Krieger, William F. Wenzel, Scott Alexander, Joan Fordham, and Stephen Bach. The UW Arts and Culture Committee, Judy Ashford, Donald Knobs, Donna Staling, and Catherine Thoen, with the fiscal and MIS note, no impact.
Moved by Wenzel, seconded by Knobs. Supervisor Wenzel, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think in Sauk County, we co-own the campus with the city of Baraboo, and it's a significant investment. Not only that, it's a significant opportunity for our students and our kids in this county, our local kids, to go to a two-year college to get credits that transfer readily into the UW four-year system, or really any system for that matter. It's a matter of accreditation. My daughter did this, went here for 2 years, and all her credits transferred right into UW-Madison. That will not be the case if these campuses are split. There's also several auxiliary issues like library access and so forth that are actually more serious than they sound. But I think that we should move to support this to protect our investment and protect our tuition costs and the access to the UW system and college education that we enjoy in this county. Thank you.
The second wish to speak?
I agree with Supervisor Wenzel's assessment, and anyone that was at the intergovernmental meeting at the campus last week would and heard Tom Plager present this to the group would certainly vote in favor of it, and I urge everybody to support it. Thank you.
Supervisor Galswick.
I fully support the UW-Baraboo and Thomas Plager and all the needs that we've so much discussed here. On the other hand, I feel like that particular needs of the UW-Madison have not been expressed here, and we don't have a representative to argue for the splitting off of the UW, and many of the people I represent are people who are graduates of the UW-Madison, who support the UW-Madison in all its ways and in all its many ways which it benefits the state. So I'm not really ready to vote for this, and if I'm asked to vote, I'll vote no.
Thank you. Supervisor Lombard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe that it's the university flagship split off. Very few of our students will be able to attend that institution. The tuition will be raised way beyond what we can afford. And I think that protecting our investment with the city is extremely important. We are better off, our county and the city of Baraboo are better off if Sauk County BOUU is part of the whole system. Thank you.
Supervisor Halton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I understand it correctly, the impact we would only be with the UW-Madison, and that the Baraboo University would still have the ability to place students in other trying to be a world-class institution, and its hands are being tied by its affiliation with the other institutions of the state. And I think for them to exist and thrive as a world-class institution, they have to be separate and have to be able to, and in fact, charge tuition comparable to the Harvards and Yales and other world-class institutions in this country. So I think we're being short-sighted by with this resolution, and I plan to vote against it.
Thank you. Supervisor Staling. Thank you. Supervisor Stockman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I speak in support of the resolution. We'd like to also emphasize the fact that the University of Wisconsin-Madison is our land-grant college, and their first responsibility is to the citizens of Wisconsin. Any other spin-offs as far as being a world-renowned college is very good, but our first responsibility is to our own people. And the Wisconsin system is that we have now, where we're all united, is a very unique thing for the philosophy of the people that live in Wisconsin. It's a very special thing, and we need to defend it. Thank you.
Is there any supervisor who wishes to speak in the first round regarding this issue before I recognize the supervisor for the second time? Is there any supervisor who wishes to speak regarding the motion before I recognize a supervisor for the second time? Seeing no such requests, Supervisor Lombard, you start the second round.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just like to say that Harvard, Yale, et cetera, are private institutions funded by private dollars, not by tax dollars from the citizens of Wisconsin. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Wenzel. Supervisor Staling again.
I don't often speak up like this, but I'm not going to graduate at UW System. But if you understand the value of the system, the way it stands, we have other states across the country who would like to have this exemplary system going on in their places. Because it works, and if it works, and if it's so beautiful to educate across the state that way with all those other things, I went over to UWC this morning for a conference. They're having international research. resources and dealing with environmental cleanup and that sort of thing. They are known around the world for that. UW-Madison has their own reason why they're known for it. Platteville is known for engineering. So, you know, we have different things going on at these campuses, and they need each other to continue to do as well.
Supervisor Halpin again.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There is a significant difference between the University of Wisconsin-Madison and the other campuses in this state in that the UW-Madison is a research institution, and it gets most of its money from grants and research money, and that it serves a different customer and base than the other campuses do. And I think that's a distinction that's important, in that they need to be able to have the resources to attract faculty that will bring grant money and research money into that institution. And they are different, whether we like to admit it or not, than the other campuses in the state. This plan has not been fully fleshed out. We are voting on something we don't fully understand. And for instance, I don't know that University Extension is affected by this. I just think we're jumping the gun on it. I think we need to know more before we make a decision like this and go in support of opposition of the governor's activity.
Supervisor Galswick.
Thank you. I want to agree with Supervisor Halpin. I'm repeating myself a little bit, but the thing is that I'm not repeating myself because I didn't remember everything. The UW-Madison enriches my life and the lives of other people who are residents of Sauk County. Many residents of Sauk County are graduates of the UW-Madison. And I agree with Halpin that the UW-Madison is unique in the sense of being a research institution. My father graduated from UW-Madison. My wife worked for the UW-Madison, and many, many other people in Sauk County also have a connection with that university of some 40,000 students, and many people in Sauk County work there and teach there. It's a unique institution, and this is not well thought out, this resolution we have before us. Thank you.
Supervisor Stepman again. Supervisor Tollickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm hearing a lot of the same things over and over, and I'm not hearing anybody changing their mind. They're constantly arguing for their feeling on this, so I think it's time to vote. I'm calling the question.
You're moving to end discussion?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Who seconded? Supervisor Layman. All right. Supervisor Murray brought up a good point. Before, and that is there anybody who wishes to speak that has not spoken on this matter before we vote on any discussion? Supervisor Staley, I see you right on, but I know that you've spoken the two rounds. I can't see what the screen up had. Is there anybody? Oh, nobody. Okay. All right, seeing no requests, you've heard the motion and the second to end discussion on resolution number 55-2011. Voting yes means that you would like to end discussion and vote on the motion. No means you wish to continue discussion on the resolution. Please vote now. Twenty-three in favor, three against, with one excused. So discussion has ended on the motion. Peter, can't come back in yet. Now, back to the original motion. We're not going to vote on that. You've read the motion, the second, to adopt Resolution 55-2011, supporting the University of Wisconsin Regents Wisconsin Idea Partnership. Please vote now. Donna, would you vote, please? Twenty-three in favor, three against, with one supervisor, 11 excused. The resolution is adopted. Peter, you can come back in, please. Next, from Executive and Legislative and Finance, on pages 59 and 60 of the original agenda, Resolution 56-2011, amending the CDBG EAP award.
Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Stark County Board of Supervisors met in regular session that Stark County requests reallocation of the unused CDBG-EAP disaster housing rehabilitation money in the amount of $11,230.88 for engineering and cost-benefit analysis associated with the planning of a drainage district in the town of Spring Green. And be it further resolved that the administrative coordinator is authorized to oversee the distribution of the funds. Signed for by the Executive and Legislative Committee, Martin F. Krieger, Stephen Box, Scott Kevin Alexander, Joan Fordham, and William F. Wenzel. And the Finance Committee, Tommy Lee Bashinsky, Joan Fordham, William F. Wenzel, Stephen Box, and the fiscal note, no levy impact. The resolution upon approval by the State Department of Commerce reallocates unspent housing rehabilitation funds for the purpose of further flood remediation activities. MIS notes, no MIS impact.
Moved by Bashinsky, seconded by Galswick. Supervisor Bashinsky has the floor.
Yes, as Kathy alluded to in her report, this is just a basic closing out of the money. If we don't give it to this project, it goes back to the state and will never be spent in Sauk and Richland County. We are a part owner in the Tri-County Airport, and this is helping the people with the drainage ditch down in the town of Spring Green.
Thank you. The second wish to speak to this? Pat, you want to click on 23? Any other discussion or comments on the resolution? Supervisor Halpin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What was the process used to select the engineer?
Supervisor Stevens, do you wish to speak to that? Answer your question, Supervisor Halpin. Don, if you'd move your mic, please, so that the...
This has been going on for about 4 years. We keep running into a situation where we can't do any more because we don't have any money. And so we've had one landowner that's doing $30,000 and another one that's throwing in $5,000. So we've got this far so far. Step number two is we have to, before we can go to step number three and step number four, we have to complete each step. One done, two is what we need, about 15,000.
go in and if that comes out favorable, then we're going to attack step number three, which would be the design and engineering of the drainage system that they're looking at.
To answer your question, Supervisor Hoffman? Supervisor Steven, you had your light on. Do you wish to continue?
No, I just wanted to mention it to start with. Thank you.
Any other discussion or comments on the resolution? Supervisor Kriegel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm certainly very supportive of, supporting the flood abatement, those issues and so forth. But if I understood the question is my answer between Supervisor Nelson and Stevens. I'm a little concerned that we may not have followed, the best processes to make sure that, we've identified the problem well and, hired the best engineering firm available to do it. And, it concerns me. We've done some things like that in the past. And,
okay. First of all, for the record, I think when you make blanket statements like that, I've got problems with that. But this is an outgrowth. I believe this firm was first contacted by the Nelson Institute that actually ran the process down there, or is running the stakeholders process down there for this problem. I believe that Peter, the head of the Nelson Institute, has identified only one expert that he could really find that had any real experience in the development of these drainage districts because they are so rare. I can't recall the last time that back when we were talking about this originally, when was the last one formed, Don? In the state, the 1980s or 1990s or something like that. No, I think it's been more recent than that. But the folks that are familiar with the formation and how lands are assessed and value in this district is assessed are few and far between, and so the head of this stakeholder effort down there put the drainage board in contact with this individual to try and get it off of the ground and off of just dead stuck in the mud, no pun intended, as far as what was going on down there, because this was really the one thing that they identified as being needed for moving forward and discussing possible solutions down there. Am I correct on? Kathy, you've been part of the meetings. Have I overstated or understated?
No, that's correct.
So, I believe this is the firm that you're working with, correct? To answer your question, Supervisor Kriegel?
Yeah, thank you. That wasn't clear from either the resolution or the discussion I heard earlier, and that clarification is helpful.
Supervisor Bashinsky. Wait a minute. You made the motion, did you not? Yes, you made the motion. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there anyone who wishes to speak in the first round regarding this resolution before I recognize the supervisor for the second time? Is there any supervisor who wishes to speak in the first round before I recognize the supervisor in the second round? Supervisor Lehman. You move to end discussion? Okay, you've heard the motion and the second. So now, once again, is there anyone who has not spoken in the first round who wishes to speak regarding this motion? Seeing or hearing no requests, you've heard the motion and the second to end discussion on resolution number 56-2011. Voting yes means you wish to end the discussion on it and vote on the original motion. Voting no means you wish to continue discussion this evening. Please vote now. Twenty-two in favor of ending discussion, five against. So we end discussion on that resolution. We're down to 10. We're going to go 10 seconds, folks, so pay attention. Vote, please, now. Oh, yeah, ready yet? Okay. Now you've heard the motion and the second to adopt Resolution 56-2011, amending the CDBG EAP award. Please vote now. When she says. Twenty-six in favor, one against. Resolution is adopted. Next, and from Finance, on pages 61 and 62, Resolution 57-2011, authorizing amendments to the 2010 budget.
Now, therefore, be it resolved that the 2010 budgets of the above-described departments that did not exceed their net appropriations be amended to appropriate the additional funds received or fund balances as proper, and be it further resolved that $92,858 be transferred from the 2010 contingency fund to the above described department's 2010 budgets that were exceeded when fund balances are not available. Signed for by the Sauk County Finance Committee, Tommy Lee, Wyszynski, Joan Fordham, William F. Wenzel, Jason Lane, and Stephen Bach. With the fiscal note, $350,000 is available in the 2010 contingency fund to fund these departments' overdrawn appropriations of $92,858. Information systems note, no information systems impact.
Moved by Fordham. Seconded by Bach. Supervisor Fordham, you have the floor.
The Finance Committee was informed about potential overruns throughout the year by the four areas noted. The only one that is of significance is the Sheriff's budget, which we have talked about many, many times, and they were able to bring that shortfall down to $79,000. Clearly, we have more than adequate funds in our contingency fund to cover these expenses. We have made no other withdrawals from the contingency fund throughout the year.
The second wish to speak? Other discussion or comment? Any other discussion or comment? Supervisor Kriegel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to repeat that. I'm not pleased with the way that, so that the items are reported on page 62. Of course, I want my hand on the county farm to be part of the official record of this meeting, because I do believe that it more completely explains reality on that issue. And, of course, that it's important that people know that the county farm actually reduces their property tax. $30,000 a year instead of increasing them by $4,000. So I definitely want that to be part of the record of this meeting. Thank you.
Any other discussion or comments on the resolution? Any other discussion or comments on the resolution? Seeing or hearing no requests, you've heard the motion, the second, to adopt resolution 57-2011, authorizing amendments to the 2010 budget. Please vote now. 10 seconds. Twenty-five in favor, two against. The changes are authorized. Next, from the Human Services Board on page 63, resolution 58-2011, authorizing purchase of two vehicles for the Sauk County Department of Human Services.
Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sauk County Board of Supervisors met in regular session that the Department of Human Services be authorized to purchase two Ford Fusions from Ewald Ford of Hartford, Wisconsin, for the cost of $15,000 per car and a total of $30,000 for two cars. Signed for by the Sauk County Human Services Board, Scott Alexander, Al Dippel, Andrea Lombard, Joan Fordham, Judith Stackman, Robert Sinclair, James Flowers, Beverly Bertine, and Karen Fabisak, with the fiscal note funds in the amount of $40,000 for acquisition of these vehicles, were carried forward from the Sauk County Department of Human Services 2010 budget to 2011. MIS note, no impact.
Moved by Alexander, seconded by Sinclair. Supervisor Alexander, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Previously, the Human Services Board met these two vehicles, the two Ford Fusions with four-cylinder engines. The other car is just, it's reached its life. Yeah, this is costing a lot of money to repair it now. So, and they're paying mileage to the social workers and managers. And in the long run, it should save the county $9,000 by purchasing the vehicles rather than paying someone's mileage every time they take their car out of the road. And it's also safer. I think it's a better situation all the way around. We're buying the cars through the VendorNet system that the state of Wisconsin runs. As you see, that the dealer is in Hartford, but we got a very good deal. You don't find cars $15,000 a piece anywhere that I know of. But I recommend the passage of this. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Second, wish to speak?
Pardon me, please. Again, it's a department that saved their vehicle and waited for a long time to be able to make this purchase. It will save us money long run because of the mileage is being paid to the individuals at this point. So, and Ventura's, it's had it. Thank you.
Any other discussion or comments on the resolution? Supervisor Kriegel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It looks like a resolution that I'm in support of. I do just have a question. I think the Ford Fusion is available in a hybrid model as well as a standard model. Is that correct? Does anyone know? Okay, so it's something you look at. So go to the price of gas, which it is. You know, I think we always want to at least look at that.
Supervisor Halpin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I'd like to understand why we're buying our cars to replace one.
The chair of the committee wish to speak to that?
As I said earlier, we are paying mileage to all our employees to run their own personal cars around the county, and we want to stop doing that. And that's the purpose of it. The extra car, one will be in Greensburg probably most of the time, and the other will be back here in Granville. So it's strategically placed so everyone will have access to the car where they're at.
Answer your question, Supervisor Halpin? Thank you. Supervisor Rick.
Yeah, I was in the southern part of the county here recently, and I saw a hotel, Sauk County Hotel sticker on the side of a and I was wondering, is this one of the cars that would be taken? No, is this one of the cars that would be eliminated by and forced to use the town car? Isn't that the
thing? That situation could happen.
Well, when I see Stark County, you know, name tag on a big Dodge Charger Hemi engine in there, I get asked by my constituents, you know, what are you guys doing out there? And so, is that how you're spending your money?
To answer your question, Supervisor Rick?
We rule out the Hemi.
Well, I'm not insinuating that. I guess my question is these cars will be used by these individuals with at home health?
No.
Are we, this is for human services, correct? Are we clear, Supervisor Rick? Is there any supervisor that wishes to speak in the first round before I recognize the supervisor for the second time? Any supervisor wish to speak in the first round before I recognize the supervisor for the second time? Seeing or hearing no request, Supervisor Sinclair, you start the second round.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I will attempt to be brief. I'm trying to return information for Supervisor Hoffman. The mileage that we're paying right now will justify the expense of two vehicles, and the thought also was that especially in severe or varying weather conditions, having two vehicles in strategic positions would make them a much safer, shorter ride. And the question also comes when we pay for mileage in a personal vehicle as opposed to a county vehicle. Are we putting our employees in the safest vehicle? Not to denigrate anyone's personal vehicle, being that I drive an antique, but I do believe that the county employees, as in many other departments, deserve a safe, economical ride, and this county should provide that for them. But like I did say, the question that you had was the mileage will justify the purchase of the vehicle. Thank you for your question.
Any other discussion or comments on the resolution? Is there any other discussion or comments on the resolution? Seeing or hearing no requests, you've heard the motion, the second, to adopt resolution 58-2011, authorizing the purchase of two vehicles for the Sauk County Department of Human Services. Please vote now. Yes. 25 in favor, 1 against. Supervisor Lehman, how do you vote?
Aye.
26 in favor, 1 against. Resolution is adopted. Last on our agenda, on pages 64 through 67, to the Planning, Zoning, and Land Records Committee, Ordinance Number 59-2011, Petition 2-2011, approving the rezoning of lands in the town of Spring Green from Resource Conservancy 35 to a recreational commercial zoning district filed upon Brad Peck, owner agent.
Now, therefore, be it ordained by the Sauk County Board of Supervisors met in regular session that the rezoning of the aforementioned lands, more particularly described in Petition 2-2011, as filed with the Sauk County Clerk under the Sauk County Zoning Ordinance, Chapter 7, be approved. Signed for by the Planning, Zoning, and Land Records Committee, Gerald Lehman, Judy Ashford, Joel Galswick, Frederick Halton, and Don Knobs. With the fiscal and MIS, no impact.
Moved by Galswick, seconded by Lehman. Supervisor Galswick, you have the floor.
Okay, we have public hearing on this extensive zoning. There was only the county traded land. The Peck family had some land in the area of the airport that we owned with two other counties, and they were not able to do what they wanted there, and so the county made a deal with them to, I don't know, transfer, I guess, some acreage that's in the county forest into this. So some of this land to be rezoned as part of that. There was no objection to it. The materials or the activities that they have going on there have been going on for many, many years there, and not really much change in the activities. Thank you.
The second wish to speak?
No.
Supervisor Knobs.
Just set the record straight. Mr. Peck was not at the public hearing. We did it on a teleconference.
Okay. Thank you. Supervisor Hershey.
If I remember correctly, I'm not there that he owned the land at the end of the runway. That he didn't, he could not put any buildings or anything on there. He agreed to it. We would sell him 5 acres. And the land was appraised at 3,000 an acre. He gave us 5,000 an acre. So that's how. He bought 5 acres off the forest, but it was, he owned the land at the end of the runway. He agreed not to do any building for that. That's my recommendation.
Thank you. Any other discussion or comments on the resolution? Any other discussion or comments on the resolution? Seeing or hearing no requests. You've heard the motion in the second. To adopt ordinance number 59-2011, approving the rezoning of lands in the township of Spring Green from Resource Conservancy 35 to a recreational commercial zoning district filed upon Brad Peck, owner agent. Please vote now. Twenty-seven in favor, none against. The land is rezoned. A motion to adjourn is in order. Moved by Netzinger, seconded by Lehman. All in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed? Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Chicago,